All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus. It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This copyrighted broadcast is presented by Authority of the Lansing Lugnuts and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the Lansing Lugnuts. Hello and welcome in to a matinee. The Lugnuts and the West Michigan Whitecaps, after a late night last night, a 3-hour-plus game that saw a combined 23 runs and 29 hits. The Whitecaps won a slugfest 15-8, and now we're right back at it in game 2 of the 6-game series. The Lugnuts and the Whitecaps playing through Sunday. The Whitecaps come in at 22-9 now, 53-44 overall, with yesterday's win, and they have a major league rehabber on the mound. Joey Wentz, earlier this year, made his first 2 major league starts, and then after that, working his way back up to the major leagues, this will be his second appearance as a member of the Whitecaps. He went 2 innings against the Dayton Dragons, and now we'll see how far they would like him to go as he takes on the Lugnuts in Michigan State Capitol. On the other side, the Lugnuts are going to throw the right-hander Christian Fernandez. Fernandez is making his 3rd start with the Lugnuts after being acquired via trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. The Oakland Athletics, in addition to a number of deals, sent Christian Bethencourt to the Rays, and in exchange, they received the AAA outfielder Cal Stevenson and this right-hander Fernandez, 6'3", 216 pounds, 22 years of age, out of Cabimas, Venezuela. We are 8 days away from his 23rd birthday. But Fernandez has struggled in each of his first 2 starts as a member of the Lugnuts. First against Fort Wayne on July the 13th. He pitched a scoreless first inning and then ran himself into some difficulties. In the end, 3 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks. And then the last time out was even tougher. This was after he had to wait a full week due to the All-Star break. So 2 weeks of a wait. And then on July the 27th, Christian Fernandez on the mound at the Great Lakes Loons at Dow Diamond. The Lugnuts got off to a great start in that game, 3 runs in the top of the first inning. But in the bottom of the first inning, the Great Lakes Loons welcomed Fernandez with a 4-run rally. A leadoff home run by Eddie Lanard set the tone. And then in the bottom of the second inning, they added 3 more runs, including another leadoff homer, Edwin Mateo taking Fernandez deep. 7 runs allowed in 2 innings in all. And now we see how Fernandez adjusts in start number 3. Here he is for his very first home start as a member of the Lugnuts. 4-pitch guy, Christian Fernandez with a fastball, the slider, the great change and the curve against Joey Wentz. In the Lugnuts starting lineup, we had some great impressions yesterday of the newcomers. Cooper Bowman, recently acquired via trade 2 days ago from the New York Yankees, debuted with a home run and an RBI single in his very first game in the Oakland Athletics organization. He was joined. Lázaro Armenteros made his return from the injured list. Shane McGuire made his very first Lugnut start after getting called up from single-A Stockton to replace the promoted Tyler Soderstrom. But it was the returning Denzel Clark who really
let's say, took the headlines when it comes to the lug nuts. Clark had a really rough series at Great Lakes last week, but yesterday he came out with a single, a double, and an inside-the-park home run. That almost helped the lug nuts rally all the way back from a 10-1 deficit. They closed within 10-8, but in the end, it was the West Michigan Whitecaps holding them off. Corey Joyce, a 3-run homer in a 5-run top of the 8th inning, and the Whitecaps ended up winning 15-8. When we return on Lansing Lugnuts pregame, it will be time to go through today's starting lineups, and we'll see where Bowman, where Denzel Clark are, and who will support Fernandez on one side for the Nuts, and Wentz on the other side for the Whitecaps. This is Lansing Lugnuts pregame.
I just don't know what to do anymore.
I wish everyone would just go away.
No, it's nothing. Don't worry about me.
Mind your own business. I hate my life.
She'll see when I'm gone.
Suicide could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a plea for help. You can help someone before it's too late.
And then she said she wanted to kill herself.
Do something. Contact OK to Say.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Meeting at home plate at Jackson Field, Ryan Pena, the manager of the West Michigan Whitecaps, and Lugnuts hitting coach Javier Godard were the umpires Kenny Jackson, the home plate umpire today, and Nathan Diedrich on the bases. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and let's talk about what those starting lineups say. First, for the West Michigan Whitecaps, the high A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. Managed by Pena, is hitting coach C.J. Wamsley, the pitching coach Dean Stiles, developmental coach Nick Bredesen, the athletic trainer Sean McFarland, and the strength and conditioning coach Tyler Nydick. They'll lead off with Carlos Mendoza at second base. Batting second, the shortstop, Corey Joyce. Heading third at first base, Austin Murr. It was Murr who was in left field yesterday when the bounce took the wrong direction on him and led to the inside-the-park home run for Denzel Clark. The cleanup hitter is the DH, Jake Holton. Batting fifth, the left fielder, Brian Packard. Heading sixth in center field, it's Ben Malgeri. Then batting seventh, the switch-hitting third baseman, Trey Cruz. The right fielder, Esni Chacon, bats eighth. Batting ninth, the catcher, Chase Barbary. That's Mendoza, Joyce, Murr, Holton, Packard, Malgeri, Cruz, Chacon, and Barbary for the Whitecaps. 22-9, the best record in the Midwest League here the second half. And yesterday, Joyce, the number two hitter, and Holton, Packard, Malgeri, the 4-5-6 hitters, all homered against Lugnuts pitching. That tied for the most home runs allowed in one game for the Lugnuts this year, the third time this season that Lansing pitchers have allowed four round trippers in one game. On the other side now, the Lugnuts batters, Max Muncy will lead off. He's the shortstop. Batting second at third base, Eurybiel Angeles. Batting third, the first baseman, Jack Winkler. Winkler yesterday played his first game at first base. Today is game number two. Winkler earlier this season had been used in left field. He is diversifying the portfolio, usually a shortstop slash third baseman. The DH, Jared McDonald, cleans up with second baseman Cooper Bowman, who homered yesterday, hitting fifth. And then Denzel Clark, single-double inside the parker yesterday. The center fielder bats sixth. Batting seventh, the catcher Shane McGuire. Yesterday is Lugnuts' debut as the DH. Today, the first day that we get to see McGuire behind home plate. Heading eighth, the right fielder Brian Wilbas. And batting ninth, to round off the order, the switch-hitting left fielder Gabriel Maciel. Muncy, Angeles, Winkler, McDonald, Bowman, Clark, McGuire, Buelbas, and Maciel. And they support the Lugnuts right-hander Christian Fernandez out of Cabimas, Venezuela. taking on the lefty Joey Wentz, the Major League rehabber, 6'5", 220 pounds, from Lawrence, Kansas. The Lugnuts are wearing the home white uniforms. On the back, the red numbers outlined in black, the black nameplates above those numerals, and the Lugnuts are wearing the red crowns to the cap today with the black rims, the black Ellen Luggy the Lugnut on the front. The Whitecaps on the other side yesterday went road grays. Today they go two-toned. The deeper blue on the chest and the back, the baby blue, the stripe right across the shoulder blades and behind the back of the neck, and those also the baby blue stripes right up the sides of the jersey shirts. Road gray pants as well, and the baseball caps are navy with navy brims, and the white caps' angry wave logo on the front. Lugnuts take the field at Jackson Field. There's Max Muncy, the 2021 first rounder, to his shortstop spot, joined back of second base in shallow center by the new acquisition, Cooper Bowman. And we go down to the field now. It's time for the national anthem. It is Wednesday, August the 3rd, 2022. So glad to have you along with me. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. This is Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Game number 32 in the second half, number 98 for the year as a whole. Coming your way from Jackson Field in the state capital. The Lugnuts at 12-19, 37-60 for the season. And the West Michigan Whitecaps, 22-9, 53-44 for 2022 as a whole. Whitecaps will have Mendoza, Joyce, and Murr coming up, and they'll take on this Lugnuts defense. In the outfield, Gabriel Maciel is in left, Denzel Clark in center, and Brian Wellbos is in right. Around the infield, Jack Winkler's at first with Cooper Bowman at second. Max Muncy is the shortstop, and at third base, Eurybiel Angeles. The catcher's Shane McGuire, Reese McGuire's brother. And the man on the mound, the right-hander, Christian Fernandez. And the 22-year-old 6'3 right-hander, making his third Lugnut start. Earlier this year, 8 relief appearances, 8 starts for the Charleston River Dogs in the Tampa Bay Rays organization, where he struck out 87 batters in 58 innings, and they batted just 201 against him. So far with the Lugnuts, 5 innings, 11 hits, 6 walks, 2 homers, 11 runs. He struck out 3. Down to the field. And play ball has been declared. Our home plate umpire, Kenny Jackson, dusts off the dish. And let's get things underway. Carlos Mendoza, the left-handed hitting second baseman, steps up there. It is 87 degrees right now in Lansing. Humidity has it feeling like it's 95. And at 1:04 p.m., the first pitch called a strike from the righty Fernandez. We are underway 1 minute early. The step back, the leg kick, the pitch. Fly ball, center field, Denzel Clark to his left. He retrieves. And on two pitches, one out for Fernandez. Next up, it's Corey Joyce. And Joyce hit one of those four Whitecaps home runs a day ago. Finished the ballgame 2-for-4. A double, a three-run homer. He was also hit by a pitch, and he scored two of the 15 West Michigan runs. So now Joyce for the year, 7 homers, 29 driven in. The first pitch runs inside by Fernandez. 1 ball, no strikes. Second baseman Bowman is cheating to his right up the middle. And Joyce takes his time, climbs back in. Fernandez offers. Popped up, foul, out of play off to the right side. Boy, the fans did not realize that ball was going to come down right near them, 3 rows back of the Lugnuts dugout. And a youngster hustles over to collect. 1 ball, 1 strike. Here's the pitch. That's at the letters for a called strike. Although, for the Whitecaps, I suppose that was more at the Angry Wave logo, atop where it says Whitecaps across the front of the jersey. Fernandez is 1-2. Breaking ball, popped foul, out of play to the right. The kids watch, and the baseball hops up onto the concourse. It is a summer fun day, and that means a camp day. The camp kids are out and about. Fernandez delivers. High fly, shallow left. Gabriel Maciel in and down the line. The Brazilian is under with the one-hand grab right above his left shoulder. 2 outs. Next up, it's Austin Murr as Fernandez looks for an easy top of the first inning. Routine fly to center, routine fly to left. Fernandez checks in with his first baseman, Winkler. Left foot in front of the right foot, glove held high. Rocks back, lets it fly. Breaking ball stays inside. 1 ball and 0 strikes. On the left-handed hitting first baseman, Murr, batting 239. The pitch, there's a called strike. A fastball in there. Murr is playing in game number 81. A 1-1 break even. Fly ball, center field, shallow. Clark goes out, and it falls in for a base hit right in front of him, and beyond the shortstop, Muncy in a shallow left center. Quickly retrieved by Clark, gets it into second base. Murr has himself a flare of a single. First hit today for West Michigan. Dying quail from Austin Murr. And that brings up Jake Holton. Murr yesterday was hitless. Holton yesterday was not. 2-for-5, a double and a 2-run homer. Right-hander against right-hander, no score, 2 outs, runner at first. The pitch. Fly ball right center field. There goes Clark to his left. Now starts in. He's got it. And the side retired. Three flyouts around the single by Murr. And onward to the bottom of the first inning. The Whitecaps nothing. The Lugnuts coming up against Joey Wentz when we return.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here's the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, outerwear, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
And here's Joey Wentz on the mound for the West Michigan Whitecaps as we go to the bottom of the first inning. Whitecaps were blanked in the top half by the Lugnut starter, Christian Fernandez. On the southpaw, Wentz will take on Max Muncy, Aribiel Angeles, and Jack Winkler. He'll be supported by this defense. On the outfield and right field, it's Esney Chacon. The center fielder's Ben Malgeri, who made a brilliant catch yesterday, jumping up against the center field wall to rob Denzel Clark. And in left field, it's Bryant Packard. Around the infield, Austin Murr plays first base, where he was a college Gold Glove winner. At second base, Carlos Mendoza. Corey Joyce is the shortstop, and at third base, Trey Cruz. The catcher is Chase Barbary. And the man on the hill, 6 feet 5 inches tall, Joey Wentz, age 24, acquired via trade with the Atlanta Braves by the Detroit Tigers right near the 2019 trade deadline. Here's Max Muncy batting right. A lefty with the hands over the head, the kick and the pitch. Strike called on the outside corner. Starts him off with a fastball. Muncy yesterday stopped a schneid. A couple of base hits. The pitch to the 19-year-old. Flied foul off to the right side. No balls, two strikes. Muncy yesterday, 2 for 5. Actually, make that 2 for 4. Two singles, including an RBI single, and a walk. Wentz pitches. There's the changeup down and away. Muncy takes ball one. Joey Wentz, originally drafted by the Atlanta Braves back in 2016. And that traded with Travis DeMeritt. That was in exchange for Shane Green. The pitch. Flied to right field. Chacon to his right. Easy. Reaches up, makes the catch. Muncy is out number one. Bring up Aribiel Angeles. A scoreless game in the bottom of the first inning. The interesting thing was Travis DeMeritt landed right back with the Atlanta Braves, claimed off of waivers. And here's Wentz, who has risen up to the major leagues this year. And then just as quickly, trying to work his way back to the majors. Fires to Aribiel Angeles. Down and away, ball one. Wentz, his first rehab appearance with these Whitecaps. Two innings, one hit, one walk, one run. Strikeout three. Left-handed pitcher, right-handed batter. The offering. Line drive, base hit, left field. Softly struck, over third baseman Cruz and the shortstop Joyce. Left fielder Packard gets it in. A one-out single for Angeles. Aribiel follows up his three-hit game yesterday. That is his team-leading 91st base hit of the year. Didn't barrel it, but he did enough. Angeles, 7 steals, 6 times caught. Held on at first base by Austin Murr. As Jack Winkler climbs in. 1 for 3 in the series opener yesterday. A single, 2 walks. Nothing to nothing. Wentz looks at the runner. High set. Leg kick in the pitch. Down and away. 1 ball and 0 strikes. Game number 59 this year for Winkler. Missed nearly a full month of action. The pitch. Flied, slicing to right field. Chacon down the line. Makes the catch to his left. Angeles walks back to first base. That's 2 routine flies to Chacon, sandwiched around the Angeles single. And now with 2 outs, Joey Wentz against Jared McDonald. McDonald had a 2-hit game yesterday. You're going to hear me saying that an awful lot about both of these teams. That's what happens when the Lugnuts go out and collect 16 hits, and the Whitecaps had 13. 15-8, West Michigan, the victors yesterday. McDonald a single, a double, 2 runs driven in. No score yet here, 2 outs. The first pitch, swing and a miss, strike one. Off speed disappeared on him. Second baseman Mendoza is playing up the middle. Left fielder Packard is playing to pull, but the center fielder Malgeri is shading to right center. The set. Wentz throws. Runs outside with a fastball. 1-1. Baseball held behind Joey Wentz's back. Now into the glove. Stares over at Angeles. A 1-1 for Jared McDonald. Inside corner, strike called. If you're Wentz, chance to try out that stuff. How is it feeling? 1-2 for McDonald. Cooper Bowman is waiting on deck. A pitcher's pitch here, on its way. Off speed down. McDonald takes the changeup for 2. In Dan Hastie's West Michigan Whitecaps game notes, he writes about Joey Wentz's arsenal as follows, quote-unquote, fastball usually sits between 90 to 93 with a high upside changeup that hinges on his fastball's effectiveness and location. 2-2. Fought off foul down the right side. That was an effective fastball in on the hands. Continuing on with Dan. He throws a curveball and a slider and can do so anytime in counts before surgery, but though stingy pitch counts limited how often he could mix his full arsenal last year. The surgery 2020, Tommy John during the COVID-canceled season. 2-2 pitch. Ground ball pushed on the right side. Mendoza to his left gloves. Those are first. Got him. A ground out to second base. Ends the first inning. Scoreless for Wentz, working around the Angeles single. And we go to the second from Lansing. Lugnuts and Whitecaps, no score.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Come on, Dad. There's nothing like a Michigan summer. Whether enjoying one of our many summer festivals, a gathering on the lake, or a trip to wine country, Michigan has thousands of licensed establishments to help prepare and even host your next summertime celebration. So have fun, but know your limits and the limits of your guests. Have a designated driver available when necessary. Live, work, and play safe this summer.
A public service message from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
No Adam today, just me. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler here with you from Jackson Field. Bryant Packard, Ben Malgeri, Trey Cruz forthcoming for West Michigan. That's 5, 6, and 7 in the Tigers' High A affiliate starting lineup against right-hander Christian Fernandez. We saw Fernandez and Joey Wentz match each other with a scoreless first inning. Each team a single, each team a runner left on. And so for each team, we're going to see 5, 6, 7. And for West Michigan, that begins with yesterday's home run hitter, Bryant Packard, the ECU Pirate. Entering this year, Baseball America's number 22 prospect in the Detroit Tigers system. And the left-handed hitting Packard has power and speed. Saw it yesterday, home run and a steal. Righty fires. Outside, 1, according to Kenny Jackson. I'd like to say hello to Michael Van Zandt, checking in via Twitter. Just to say he and a buddy are tuned in. 1-0. Shot up the middle, base hit center field. Denzel Clark over to his left to pick it up. Rounding first base, Packard hangs tight with a leadoff single. Second single against Fernandez. I'm the first man on for Ben Malgeri. You can find me online at jgoldstrass, J-G-O-L-D-S-T-R-A-S-S. And you can email into the broadcast booth, jgoldstrass@lansinglugnuts.com. Righty versus righty here, no score. Runner at first, on a throw over just to check, because Packard yesterday
Stolen base number 21. He has only been caught three times. That is our first time, too. Seeing Shane McGuire catching for the Lugnuts, just called up from Stockton. Here's the pitch. Malgeri swings and misses. Strike one. Four-pitch mix for Fernandez. And that fastball can get up there into the mid-90s. His changeup received great acclaim coming over from Tampa Bay. Also the curve and the slider. The deal. Runner takes off, but Malgeri spoils it off to the right. There's a breaking ball there. And two strikes the cat with Packard retreating to first base. Ben Malgeri had himself a whale of a game yesterday. And I would be shocked if he has a better game all this 2022. Hit a grand slam and made a remarkable catch at the center field wall. The pitch, blood foul off to the right. Let's try it again, nothing and two. Let's start with a grand slam. After Malgeri was hit by a pitch in West Michigan's four-run first inning yesterday, in the second inning, he turned a two-run rally into a six-run rally and gave the Whitecaps a 10-1 lead, going opposite field, out to right against Daniel Martinez. Christian Fernandez's pitch. Breaking ball grounded left side. Knocked down off the back end by Muncy. Picks it up, throws to first. One-hop scoop laid at the bag by Winkler. Ben Malgeri is on. Infield single rules the official score. So much speed. And when Muncy did not grab it securely right away, when he could only knock it down, that meant it was trouble. Packard up to second. Two on, nobody out for Trey Cruz. That is a lot of speed on the bases with Packard at second base and Malgeri at first. The switch hitting Cruz bats left. We have seen he loves to drop down a bunt. He is an adept bunter, whether sacrificing or trying to get on via base hit. Third baseman Angeles is in. First pitch. He squares, shows, doesn't bunt. Throw down to second base, goes right off of Muncy's glove. Kicks off to the right side, but backed up by Bowman. All the while, Packard thought about it, took one step, and then froze, staying at second base. That was not a bad throw by Shane McGuire either. Put it right on the bag. Muncy just couldn't catch it. When a bunt is missed, those runners can be frozen and in trouble. Ball one offering. Breaking ball down. Two balls and no strikes. Well, Cruz comes in hitting .212. 13 doubles, 2 triples, 6 home runs. He, too, has great speed. 13 steals this year. Here's the pitch. Check swing. It was down. Went too far. Home plate umpire Jackson makes the call himself. Strike one. Trey Cruz, part of the proud Cruz baseball family. Grandfather Jose Cruz Sr., father Jose Cruz Jr., he's the third. He's Trey. The pitch. Swing and a miss. He was late. Fastball away. 2-2. Fernandez was a strikeout pitcher when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays organization. We've not seen so many strikeouts now in the A's system. 2-1. No score. Nobody out. And a 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Outside. Ball count for Cruz. Now, Cruz this year has struck out a bit. This is his 87th game, 90 strikeouts. And as a matter of fact, 90 strikeouts leads the Whitecaps. But he's just played in so many games. Runners don't go. He takes a called strike, 3 on the outside corner. And there's strikeout number 91. First K today for Christian Fernandez. One away in the top of the second. The number 8 hitter now. Esney Chacon. E-S-N-E-Y, Esney. And that last name, Chacon, C-H-A-C-O-N. Heading 211 through his first 19 games. Righty-righty, no score. First pitch, down and in. Quick hands by McGuire. Chacon, age 22, out of La Asuncion, Venezuela. Slightly open stance from the right side, a slender right-handed batter. Bat twirling above his right shoulder. Here's the pitch. That is low. Two balls and no strikes. Chase Barber is waiting on deck. Relatively inexperienced spot when it comes to these players and their time here with West Michigan. Fernandez throws. Ground ball bounced foul, left side. Nice bare hand grab by the manager, Brian Pena, coaching at third base. Spots a youngster, underhands it up. And a fine snag by the youngster with the glove reaching out to his right. Two balls, one strike on Chacon. The Whitecaps are looking for the game's first lead. Ryan Packard led off with a single. He's at second. Ben Malgeri reached on the infield single at first. Fernandez throws. Both runners move. Pitch is low. Throw down to second base. The tag. In time. Malgeri is out. He went in feed first. And the throw perfect from McGuire to second baseman Bowman. Malgeri caught trying to steal for the fifth time in 12 attempts. Packard now at third base. But two outs. And the Whitecaps' second inning. Count is three balls, one strike, and Chacon. The pitch from Fernandez. Breaking ball hooks in for a called strike. How about the confidence to throw that on 3-1? And it buckled Chacon. What do you want to do on 3-2 now? Target away. Payoff pitch from Fernandez. Fastball fouled off to the right side. After showing him the breaking ball, saying maybe would he be ready to get around on that fastball. Three balls, two strikes on Chacon. Scoreless. Packard wanders up the third baseline. Now steps toward the plate. Here's the pitch from the right-hander. The breaking ball is laced to left center field. Clark's on the run. Gets there in the alleyway. Makes the catch. Loses his cap once again. And retires the side. That's the second time in as many innings that Denzel Clark has lost his cap on the full sprint. But in the end, the Whitecaps collect two hits, they leave a runner at third, and we stay scoreless going to the bottom half of the second inning from Lansing, Michigan.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go Nuts.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Cooper Bowman enjoyed a smashing debut yesterday for the Lugnuts. He's coming up to lead off the bottom of the second inning, followed by Denzel Clark and then Shane McGuire against the lefty Joey Wentz. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. No score as of yet. Whitecaps at the Lugnuts. Bowman just acquired from the New York Yankees in a four-player package. The other three all pitchers. The other three all at the upper levels of the system. Triple-A Las Vegas, Double-A Midland. And here's Bowman, the fourth, the second baseman, out of the University of Louisville, hailing from Rapid City, South Dakota. And he'll challenge the lefty from Lawrence, Kansas, to open up the home second. Yesterday, Bowman hit a laser home run out to left at 105 miles an hour and followed up his next time up with a poke shot, a line drive into right field, an Oppo RBI single. And he stole second base. His first pitch of his second game with the Lugnuts. Takes a fastball for a called strike in the outside corner. It is always nice to measure yourself up against somebody who's been in the major leagues. And that's where Wentz has been, and that's where he's going. Let's it fly. Bowman swings and misses the off speed. Nothing in two. We have seen some major league rehabbers make their mark over the years. For the Lugnuts, and today, against the Lugnuts. Wentz winds, throws the 0-2. High fastball foul tipped into, then out of Barbary's mitt. And Bowman stays up there. I remember back in 2013, Marcus Stroman on his way back to the Toronto Blue Jays postseason rotation. Was that 2015? 2015, Marcus Stroman rehabbed his way right back up to the major leagues after they thought his season was done. The pitch, ripped on the left side, short hop picked up by third baseman Cruz. Guides it across in time. The Fleet Bowman is out number one. Next up, Denzel Clark. No score in the home second. Marcus Stroman on that occasion went four innings against Great Lakes. Hitless ball. The Lugnuts have faced Aroldis Chapman rehabbing for the Dayton Dragons years ago. Denzel Clark takes ball one outside. Denzel yesterday made memories for anybody who was here attending. Single, double, inside the park home run. No score. 1-0. Swing and a miss. Count is even. One out, nobody on. Clark so far with the Lugnuts overall. 19 for 88. That's a 216 average. Wentz's pitch. Down low. Two balls, one strike. Clark has struck out 39 times in his 23 games. But there have been those moments of electricity. Four doubles, now four homers, five stolen bases. Stirs his two-tone bat around above his right shoulder. This is 6-5, pitching to 6-5. Clark bounces a breaking ball towards short. Grabbed by Joyce, Cruz running in front of him. The throw to first, not handled by Murr, and Clark is on. Austin Murr came out of NC State with a brilliant reputation as a defensive first baseman. There was all sorts of traffic to begin that play on the left side of the infield, Joyce and Cruz. Cruz getting in Joyce's way as Joyce gloved and fired. And then at first base, it was that brief fumble, that muff at the bag by Murr. So Clark is on and a threat to run, an error charge to West Michigan. Wentz stares him down. The pitch to Shane McGuire. Fastball up and in. Ball one. Wind is blowing out left to right. McGuire yesterday in his first Lugnuts game was 0 for 5 with a strikeout, but a couple of hard hit fly balls as well, looking for his first Lugnuts hit. The 1-0. Ground ball pulled down to first, grab by Murr. Steps on first base, throws down to second, and the tag applied by shortstop Joyce. The old reverse force double play, and that ends the second inning. Onward to the third, Joey Wentz is through two scoreless, as was Christian Fernandez. The Lugnuts and the Whitecaps, 0-0.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Through two innings, no runs yet. Going to the third, West Michigan's 9-1 and 2 batters coming up. On the first offering from Christian Fernandez, down low, ball one, to Chase Barbary, the Whitecaps catcher hitting ninth. Right-hander Christian Fernandez lets it fly. Breaking ball slides outside, 2-0. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. For Fernandez, through the first eight batters, one strikeout, three singles. The pitch, low, 3-0 to Barbary. In his eighth game with West Michigan, he is 2-for-14. He has two doubles, no walks, seven strikeouts. The 3-0, there's a called strike. Fernandez has not yet walked anybody. Barbary has not yet shown a walk this year. The pitch to Barbary. Fly ball, shallow center field, over the second baseman Bowman, base hit in front of Denzel Clark. Clark relays into shortstop Muncy. A single for Barbary. And his third hit this year with West Michigan. If you don't know the Chase Barbary story, originally a Great Lakes Loon, signed by the Dodgers as a free agent, an undrafted free agent, out of Newberry, South Carolina. That was back in 2019. And in 2019, played for the Loons, played in the Dodgers system. Here's Carlos Mendoza. Bunts the first pitch up into the air. Fernandez, a hopping catch. Easily Barbary back into first base. That is a gift wrapped out number one. Next up, Corey Joyce. Well, in 2019, there was Barbary. Seven games in the Arizona League for the Dodgers. 3-for-17. Two singles and a triple. He also played one game for the Great Lakes Loons, going 0-for-3 with a strikeout. And one game for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. 1-for-1, single and a run scored. Righty-righty, Fernandez to the shortstop, Joyce. Corey Joyce takes ball one outside. All right, so that's 2019. And then 2020, no minor league baseball season. 2021, he does get three starts with the Great Lakes Loons, goes 0-for-8, one walk, six strikeouts. And now here he is in the Dodgers organization. He is basically a bullpen catcher. Here's the pitch. Flied foul off to the right side. But Barbary just was activated, as he was earlier this year. The Whitecaps have activated Chase Barbary back on May 4th through May the 9th, May 21st through May 28th, July 1st through July the 7th, and again, very recently, a 1-1 for Joyce. Swing and a miss. Fastball by him, strike two. So I was speaking with Dan Hasty, and Dan said, how about this? How about Chase Barbary getting his first base hit this year since 2019? And we get to see a Barbary base hit here today. His father is the manager for the Oklahoma City Dodgers, AAA. The pitch, breaking ball, waved at and missed. Down goes Joyce. Second strikeout for Fernandez. Two outs here in the third inning. Whitecaps and Lugnuts no score. Austin Murr steps in. So Barbary, first in the Dodgers system, now in the Tigers system. And a team bullpen catcher throughout this year, but active and at first base. And Austin Murr, first pitch. Line drive, right center field. Base hit in front of Clark. Barbary up to second base. The throw goes right over the shortstop Muncy and right to the third baseman Angeles. Single by Murr, who is now 2-for-2. And the batter will be the cleanup hitting, Jake Holton. I've seen activations like Barbary in the past. Years ago, the Lugnuts had a coach named Alex Maldonado. Alex short for Alexis. And at one point, midway through the year, they activated their coach, and there was Maldonado coming up, starting at third base, coming through with a couple of key base hits. Tell you what, though, Cullen Turner, the Lugnuts bullpen catcher, would love to get activated. Righty, righty, Fernandez to Jake Holton. The pitch inside, ball one. Whitecaps' current catcher situation, Barbary along with Cooper Johnson and Josh Crouch. And we saw Crouch yesterday. He's a good one. We've seen a lot of Cooper Johnson, too. Barbary at second, Murr at first. The pitch breaks outside. Holton takes ball two. And there have been runners all over the bases against Fernandez. Pitched around the two-out single by Murr in the first inning. In the second inning, back-to-back singles by Packard and Malgeri. Packard left at third base. Malgeri caught stealing. 2-1, 2-out here in the third. The deal. Holton takes ball three upstairs. And now here in the third inning, leadoff single Barbary. With 2 outs, Murr the single. Bryant Packard is waiting on deck. Fernandez fighting himself somewhat for that command. Does Holton swing on 3-0? Pitch on its way. He takes inside, ball four. There's the first walk given out by Fernandez. And up steps Bryant Packard. Here comes the pitching coach Don Schulze out of the dugout. Catcher McGuire was the first to go out to the mound. Third baseman Angeles is in. Shortstop Muncy slowly walking. Second baseman Bowman. First baseman Winkler. And the pitching coach Schulze are in a turtles race to see who's going to get to that mound first. And they both arrive pretty much at the same exact time. Full infield get-together to try to discuss things. Now with Murr at second, Barbary at third following the Holton walk. No score in the ballgame. Yesterday we saw the Lugnuts starting pitcher Grant Holman go only 2/3 of an inning. So the Lugnuts would love to get more here from Christian Fernandez. Yesterday the Lugnuts ran out of pitchers. And it was up to Patrick McCall, the 6'6 first baseman, tossing Ephesus for the final 4 outs. The mound conference concludes. And Bryant Packard is coming up with the bases loaded and 2 outs. Yesterday we saw Ben Malgeri hit a grand slam for these Loons. Loons have 6 grand slams this year. Well, the first offering to Packard. Swing and a miss, strike one. He wanted the grand slam. Grand slams for Boyarski, for Josh Crouch, for Jake Holton. Bryant Packard has a grand slam this year. And 0-1. Down low, well smothered by McGuire. Christian Fernandez is in a spot. Can he get out of it? Bases loaded, two gone. The deal, up high and away. 2 balls, 1 strike. Again, command is the issue. 48 pitches right now. 29 for strikes for Fernandez. Out of the full windup. Lets it fly. Breaking ball up and inside. And it's 3-1. Ben Malgeri, the aforementioned Malgeri, waits on deck. Scoreless for the moment. The 3-1 pitch. Packard fouls it off to the left, up into the sweet level. And the count has run full. Now the runners will be in motion. This is the all-action pitch. Angelo Infante, the right-hander, warms up in the pen. Fernandez is fellow Venezuelan. Holton, Murr, Barbary, the runners. Shortstop Muncy up the middle. There go the runners. The pitch popped up. Shallow left field. Muncy goes out. Maciel comes in. Maciel the call and the catch. and the side retired. The threat is averted. Two singles, one walk, three left. We remain scoreless. Through 2.5 innings from Jackson Field between Lansing and West Michigan.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking? Al-Anon and Alateen can help. Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
The Whitecaps loaded the bases in the top of the third inning, but Christian Fernandez turned them away. And we go to the bottom of the third with Brian Buelbas, Gabriel Maciel, and Max Muncy coming up for the Lansing Lugnuts. They take on the lefty Joey Wentz out there for a third inning of work. 8-9-1 here. Boy, for West Michigan, five base hits and one walk through the first three innings. And they have stranded five runners on the bases. It has not been pretty. It is goose eggs, though. And now we see what the Lugnuts can do, as they're about to turn the lineup over against Wentz. I should say, there's Joey Wentz finishing up his warm-up pitches. So warm-up pitches are done. Joey tucks in his jersey, gets the baseball from the third baseman Cruz, flaps that black glove, little extra stretching. And here comes Brian Buelbas, the 20-year-old. Buelbas out of Monterrey, Colombia. The southpaw checks in with all of his fellow defenders. And the first offering of the home third inning on its way. Up high and outside. So far, seven Lugnuts batters, one hit, an A. Rubio Angeles line drive single in the first inning. A soft line drive. The 1-0. Inside corner, strike called. Buelbas returning to the Lugnuts order over the road trip at Great Lakes. First time that we had seen him in a Lugnuts game since May. Here's the pitch. Fouled off into the screen behind home plate. Count is 1-2. And then Buelbas goes out yesterday, and he collects a couple of base hits. He was spraying the ball yesterday. A line drive single to center, line drive single to right. Has a lot of power and a lot of speed. A 1-2 pitcher's pitch. He goes down swinging. Wentz gets him with the off speed. A throw down to first base just in case. That completes the strikeout. And there's the first strikeout for Joey Wentz. That brings up Gabriel Maciel. Switch hitting Maciel, bats right. Maciel came in halfway through yesterday's game, as the Lugnuts are easing Lacer Armenteros back from his own injury, just like Buelbas. Armenteros returned from the injured list yesterday. Maciel takes a fastball inside. Gabriel Maciel, after replacing Armenteros halfway through the game, was 1-for-2 with a single and a walk. No score, last of the third inning, one out, and nobody on. The hands over the head, the leg kick, and the pitch. It's bunted up into the air down the first baseline, taken in on the jog by Murr. Caught it in fair ground. That is the second gift-wrapped popped out bunts that we have seen this inning. In the top half, it was Carlos Mendoza popping it right back to the Lugnuts pitcher, Fernandez. Maciel trying to shoot that ball in between the pitcher and the first baseman. But no, sir. Two gone for Max Muncy. Muncy flied out to right fielder Chacon, leading off the home first inning. Wentz wins and throws. Breaking ball drops in. And the 25th overall pick in last year's draft, the number 5 A's prospect. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Pulled the string on him. Max Muncy 2.0 out of Thousand Oaks High School. Wentz to the plate. He takes. That's high. It's a fastball. 2-1. At the very last second, Muncy decided not to pull the trigger. And the Whitecaps bullpen, there is action, so this looks like it will be all for the Major League rehabber Joey Wentz. Just trying to finish up this third inning, keep the game scoreless. Muncy takes at the letters for a called strike. If this is, in fact, all for Wentz, efficient with his pitches, this is going to be number 34. The 2-2. Breaking ball misses inside. Count is full. And I believe that is the first time we've seen a Lugnuts batter reach a 3-2 count against Wentz. Just two base runners, a single in the first inning, and an error in the second inning. That's all. Nothing to nothing. Two outs, nobody on. And Wentz with the 3-2. Fastball up and wide. He walks Muncy. Walk number one for Wentz. Now a Rebiel Angeles. Angeles collected 3 hits yesterday. He has 1 hit today, the only hit so far against Wentz. Single to left field with 1 out in the first inning, and then he never left first base as Wentz got Winkler on a flyout and McDonald on a ground out. No score, first pitch. Angeles pops it foul, beckon out of play to the right side. It has always seemed to me in watching Major League rehabbers, whether position players, pitchers, there is that sense of plan, right? There is that sense of I'm here to get some work in. Know exactly what I'm doing. No rush. Runner takes off. The 0-1 is down and in. And Muncy steals second base without a throw from Barbary. Stolen base number 3 for Max Muncy. He's in a scoring position. First Lugnut to reach second base against Wentz. One ball, one strike on A. Rebiel Angeles, the 20-year-old out of Higüey, Dominican Republic, acquired via trade from the Padres right before the year. A spin, Muncy dashes right back into second base. Trying to gain the attention of the southpaw, and I think he just did. Wentz has his sign, looks back at Muncy. Lets it fly. Poked foul on a line into the bleachers on the right side. That was a dangerous line drive past the netting. Thankfully, just deadened by the seats. Not a little one. Picks up the new souvenir. That baseball was humming. Ball at 2 strikes and Angeles, starting for the second consecutive day at third base. Muncy away from second. Wentz fires. Breaking ball around the outside corner. 2-2. Jack Winkler is on deck. By the way, it is Bryce Tassan who is warming up in the Whitecaps' pen to relieve Wentz whenever they need him. No score. Last of the third. The 2-2, high and outside. 3 balls and 2 strikes for Angeles. wheels are starting to come off a little bit with regard to the command. Payoff popped up by Angeles. This should get Wentz out of the third. On the right side of the infield, first baseman Murrah, two-hand squeeze, and the inning is over. Lugnut strand Muncy at second base following the walk and the steal, and we're through three scoreless innings from Lansing. Lugnuts and Whitecaps heading to the fourth inning.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Interesting to see the right-hander Angelo Infante is still warming up in the Lugnuts pen. We're opening up the fourth inning. There's no score between the Lugnuts and the Whitecaps. Lugnuts starter Christian Fernandez, the right-hander, takes on Malgeri, Cruz, and Chacon. Whitecaps so far have five singles and a walk against Fernandez, who has stranded all five. He has matched Joey Wentz three scoreless innings. Deals the first pitch of the fourth. Swing and a foul tip, and in the mid of McGuire. Strike one for Ben Malgeri. Out of Northeastern. Righty-righty the matchup. Malgeri, the starting center fielder, takes off speed down and away. One ball and one strike. We shall see how much rope there is for Fernandez. How long will they leave him in? Deals. High fly ball out into center field for Denzel Clark. Backing up, but plenty of room for the one-hand catch. So one center fielder flies out to the other. And now bring up Trey Cruz. All right, temperature update. 92 degrees, heat index 102. Trey Cruz, the switch hitter. So from the left side with the bat held high, twirling. First pitch. Fernandez dots the outside corner. Strike called. Cruz is one of two strikeouts for Christian. Fernandez struck out Corey Joyce in the third inning. Deals. Off speed, down and away. Next offering. That too just misses. And the Lugnuts bullpen looking at Angelo Infante. He's gone back to long tossing. Just loosening up that arm. Hitter's pitch on 2-1. Ripped to right field. Buelbas has gone back at the wall, but it's gone. A solo homer for Trey Cruz. Number 7 for the year. And just like that, the Whitecaps lead 1-0. He cruises around the bases. Up over Christian Fernandez's name on the right field wall ribbon board. And with that, the pitching coach Don Schulze heads out for a visit. Third home run that Fernandez has allowed as a member of the Lugnuts. And the fifth homer already of the series for the Whitecaps. It just made sense yesterday. West Michigan 4 homers, the Lugnuts 2. Why wouldn't the first run of today's game be scored on a round tripper? The 8 and 9 batters are coming up in Chacon and then Barbary. We'll see if Fernandez can make his way through the rest of this fourth inning. Infante is warming up with some now added urgency down the right field line. wind is rippling the American flag, really gusting left to right across the field. I'm not sure how much help that home run needed, but the wind is blowing out to right. Schultze back to the dugout. Fernandez against Esni Chacon. Chacon from La Asuncion, Venezuela, against Christian Fernandez from Cabimas, Venezuela. Pitch on its way. Fastball for a called strike to start him. Chacon lined out to center fielder Clark his first time. Right-hander delivers to right-hander. Breaking ball low. Cabimas, Venezuela, Christian Fernandez's hometown, up in the northwest, on the shore of Maracaibo Lake. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball in there for a called strike. Pablo Lopez has been in the news a lot recently, right? Fernandez lets it fly. Missed inside. And Pablo Lopez, the thought was, where are the Marlins going to trade him? Who is Lopez going to go to? And the answer is, he stayed a Marlin. Bouncing ball hit toward third base, grabbed by Anales. Throws to first, gets the out on Chacon. Two down. I bring up Lopez because Pablo Lopez, just like Christian Fernandez, is out of Cabimas. If you're familiar with the name Vic Davalio, Davalio also from Cabimas. Major leaguer from 1963 through 1980, 18 years. That, by the way, is the last pitch that Fernandez will throw. Phil Pohl is out of the dugout. Ad Christian is out. Angelo Infante, the right-hander out of Maracaibo, Venezuela, is in. Final line for Christian Fernandez. 3 2/3 innings here today. He struck out two. He gave up the one run on the Trey Cruz solo home run. Six hits in all. He walked one. And now we'll have to rely upon his teammates. Angelo Infante. At last check, the baby has not yet arrived. He is due to become a father any time now. But at last I heard, no baby yet. I apologize if I'm mistaken and the baby's here. I do not believe yet. It's very good, though, that the Lugnuts are back here in Lansing, Michigan, not somewhere on the road. Let's say, like, in Wisconsin or in South Bend, where the Lugnuts have some road trips coming soon. The amiable Infante makes appearance number 30 this year as a member of the Lugnuts. And his first year in the Midwest League, first year in the High A Midwest League, I should say. Angelo Infante, if you trace his route up the ladder as a member of the Oakland Athletics minor league system, you go back. Infante, back in 2019, pitched in the Midwest League back when the MWL was low A, single A. He was a Beloit snapper. Not only that, he was a snapper starting pitcher. 8 starts, 5 relief appearances, a 2.83 ERA. He was really good, though he didn't strike out a lot of players. This year, he opened up the year as the Lugnuts closer. Now we're seeing him in more middle relief. 5.79 ERA, 32 strikeouts, 20 walks, and 32 2/3. It throws a sinker and a slider. Two outs, nobody on, 1-0 Caps. Chase Barbary sprays the first pitch out in the left center. There's Denzel Clark making the catch. Out on one pitch, Infante ends the top of the fourth inning. That's efficient work. Let's go to the bottom of the fourth. Trey Cruz with a home run has given West Michigan a 1-0 lead in Lansing.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
The Lugnuts went to the bullpen in the top half of the fourth inning. And now the Whitecaps go to the bullpen in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Angelo Infante came on for Christian Fernandez after 3 2/3. Fernandez allowing the game's first run, a solo home run hit by Trey Cruz, the Rice Owl. Now here as we go to the bottom of the fourth, new man on the mound replacing the lefty Joey Wentz. It is the right-hander Bryce Tassin out of Roseland, Louisiana. T-A-S-S-I-N. Winkler, McDonald, and Bowman will be the batters. 3-4-5 in the order against Tassin. 29th appearance of the year, 28th from the pen. Deals. Inside corner, strike one called. Successful day in the rehab road back for Joey Wentz. 3 scoreless innings. 1 hit, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. The pitch, a ground ball hit to the left side. Grabbed by third baseman Cruz, spins, throws, the stretch at first base by Murr, and out number one. Trey Cruz is looking to do everything. Next pitch, a ball to Jared McDonald. 0-for-1 with a ground out to second base. One out, nobody on. Lugnuts trail 1-0. Tassin throws. Dribbled foul off the left side. Boy, I remember when we first saw Bryce Tassin when he initially joined the West Michigan Whitecaps last year. He was being used as a closer down in the low A Southeast, the Florida State League. He throws. Low and away. Here he is for West Michigan. Only one save in 3 save opportunities. They have used him for multiple innings. And the Lugnuts have seen him strike out quite a few batters. McDonald hits a bouncer down to third. Cruz takes it in, takes his time, and he puts it across to first base with Murr bending down to receive. That is out number 2. 2 ground outs to third. Cooper Bowman will be the batter. Righty, righty. Tassin offers. Inside. Bowman, oh, by the way, is 0-for-1 with a ground out to, of course, Trey Cruz. They have kept him involved. 1-0 Caps. Bowman offering. Yanked low and away. 2 balls and 0 strikes. On deck, Denzel Clark. The 2-0. Up and in. 3 balls, no strikes to Bowman. You get Bowman on with his great speed, some magic can happen. Lugnuts down by a run, last of the fourth, 3-0. Inside corner called a strike. Tassin is not done with his plate appearance just yet. Fun thing was in seeing Bowman demonstrate his power yesterday with his home run rocketed out to left field. On the 3-1, breaks his bat, grounding to third base. Another chance for Cruz. The throw across, in time, side retired. 5-3, 5-3, 5-3, as easy as 1-2-3 on the scorecard, and a perfect frame for Bryce Tassin using his third baseman. We go to the fifth inning. And it's 1-0 West Michigan.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Onward to the fifth inning. 1-0 West Michigan has the lead on a Trey Cruz home run. Lugnuts brought in Angelo Infante for the final out of the fourth on one pitch. His first pitch of the fifth. Strike called outside corner to Carlos Mendoza. Mendoza, Joyce, and Murr. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. 1-2-3 in the West Michigan attack for the Detroit Tigers High affiliate. Mendoza spins back and away, but the pitch called a strike on the inside corner. Now it's 0-2 on the left-handed hitting Whitecap second baseman, who takes the Cartaya time. Diego Cartaya at Great Lakes, the Dodgers' number one prospect. He became notorious for, after strike one and strike two, he'd always call time, and then everybody started to imitate him. 0-2 pitch, up high. Our friends with Great Lakes told us nobody did it before Cartaya arrived. And then once Cartaya got there and started taking that Cartaya time, every single time it got to two strikes, every other batter did the same. And it's fun to see it spread. 1-2. Pushed on the ground down toward third. Difficult hop grabbed by Angeles. The throw to first is in time. And there's one away. Corey Joyce now 0-2 with a fly to left and a strikeout swinging. Righty-righty. Advante's pitch. Inside corner, strike one called. Out of Maracaibo, Venezuela, Angelo Infante, who quick pitches. And a line drive over second base, a base hit in the right center field. Joyce was ready for that. Denzel Clark Fields gets it in. One out single for Joyce. First base runner against Infante. Austin Murr is 2-for-2. Murr singled the left center in the first inning and singled the center field in the third inning. Left-handed batter from a deep crouch. Nicknamed the Machine. He takes strike called from Infante. One on, one out, 1-0 West Michigan. Infante lets it fly. The runner takes off, but the pitch is fouled away to the left side. Fun to see the camp kids as they run around. Whoop. There we go. There are different camps and different colored shirts. a butterscotch yellow up on the third base side. Tie-dyed shirts right behind it to the right of the West Michigan third base side dugout. Up on the first base side, camp kids in red shirts with their counselors wearing bright blue shirts. And Fonte's 0-2 pitch on its way. Up very high to Murray. One ball and two strikes. Quick pickoff, though, to first base, but Joyce gets back in. One run, seven hits, one error for West Michigan. Again, the pickoff, though, the tag, not in time. It was tight. And Fonte nearly had Joyce picked clean. And Fonte has picked off two runners this year. One ball, two strike pitch to Murr. Joyce runs. It is shot right to the third baseman, Anales, on the line. Jogging across the infield, pegs it over to Winkler at first base. That completes the double play, and the side is retired. Let's go to the last of the fifth inning. Halfway to the house from Lansing, Michigan. Whitecaps 1, Lugnuts nothing.
Dan, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
We go to the bottom of the fifth inning. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler here. Whitecaps 1, Lugnuts nothing. Denzel Clark in the right-hand batter's box. On the first offering, misses inside ball 1. It's Clark, McGuire, and Buelba, 6-7-8 in the Lugnuts order. Righty deals to righty. On the outside corner, strike called. Right-hander Bryce Tassan back out to the mound for a second inning of work. The break even to Clark. At the knees on the outside corner. Strike 2. On the 1-2 pitch, he fouls it off to the right side. How do we stay right here? Well, Clark, McGuire, and Buelbas for the Lugnuts. Right now, the Lugnuts offense through the first four innings. 3 against Joey Wentz, 1 against Bryce Tassan. 3 base runners. 1 hit, 1 walk, 1 error. Clark lifts a fly ball, slicing down the right field line. Chacon a long run, but the ball's back into the Lugnuts pen. 1 ball, 2 strikes, it stays. Out of Pickering, Ontario, drafted from Cal State Northridge last year in the 4th round, Denzel Clark, black socks pulled up high, knees slightly bent. Tassan's pitch, ripped on a line, foul, left side into the stands. Bryce Tassan on the other side. Out of Southeastern Louisiana, 31st rounder, 3 years ago. Let's it fly. Line drive caught by the shortstop Joyce to his right. Nifty backhand grab. One gone. Denzel Clark is a way of flicking the bat at the ball and getting that great solid contact. All in the wrists. Whitecaps keep him off the bases here, though. And Shane McGuire steps in. One out, nobody on. First pitch. McGuire takes a called strike on the inside corner. Shane grounded into a double play his first time up. A left-handed batter out of Kent, Washington. The pitch. Bouncing in. Interesting to see the Lugnuts representation. Different states. This pitch is outside. 2 balls, 1 strike. You've got McGuire out of Washington. Joe Demers out of Idaho. Cooper Bowman is from South Dakota. And I could keep on going. Jake Walkinshaw from Connecticut. The pitch. Fly ball right center field. It's carrying. Malgeri rushes out in the alleyway. And that ball hits off the wall and bounces away from him. McGuire dashes around second base. Malgeri catches up with it. McGuire to third base. Held up there with a triple. A one-out, three-bagger for Shane McGuire's first hit in the Midwest League. If he hits that ball to any other spot in the ballpark, he's got himself a home run. He deserved a home run. It's just that it gets out to 407 feet out where he dented the wall. And then it took a tough carom right past Malgeri to his left to give that one extra bag. Ryan Buelbas, the batter, infield in. First pitch hits him, grazes his uniform, and he's awarded first base by Kenny Jackson. Meeting on the mound for the West Michigan Whitecaps. Pitching coach Dean Stiles is out there. The Lugnuts have their first true threat of this game. McGuire at third base, Buelbas at first base. And Buelbas is a threat to try to steal second. Gabriel Maciel is going to be the batter. So the tying run 90 feet away, the go-ahead run 270 feet away. Only one man out. No action for West Michigan in the pen. Very different sort of game than yesterday. Yesterday, 15-8. Runs and hits all over the place. Shane McGuire's double, or I should say Shane McGuire's triple, just doubled the Lugnuts' base hits total up to 2. Maciel, the switch hitter, bats left. First pitch, inside, nearly hits him. Boy, Bryce Tassan, in striking Buelbas, and not really hard, right? Just grazing the front of the jersey. But that was his third HBP of the year. Actually, that was his fifth. What a time to do it, too. Here's his pitch. Maciel lifts it to left, slicing foul down the line. That ball is off toward the West Michigan pen. One ball, one strike on Gabriel Maciel. Maciel popped out a bunt attempt his first time. The Lugnuts are down 1-0 in the fifth. The set by Tassan. The pitch. Rip foul on a line into the netting above the Lugnuts dugout. Vicious, but way out in front. One ball and two strikes. Tassan is a strikeout pitcher. Maciel, though, has only struck out 29 times. This is his 53rd game. Contact hitter. The 1-2. Low and away. 2 balls and 2 strikes. With Max Muncy, and the top of the order waiting on deck. What a chance to square the score. West Michigan warms up R.J. Pettit in the pen. The pitch, grounded foul right side. Pettit, the big right-hander, getting all loosened up. But right now, it's just soft tossing. And Bryce Tossin tries to keep his Whitecaps in the lead. Here's the pitch. Fly ball pounded to right center field. That's in Triple's alley, and that's going all the way to the wall. McGuire scores to tie the game. Around third base, Brobaugh streaks for the plate. Relay throw is late. He slides head first, and the Lugnuts lead. Gabriel Maciel comes through with a two-run triple. 2-1 Lugnuts. It is Maciel's third triple of the year, his 14th and 15th ribbies. Boy, from having one hit through the first four and a third innings. Three straight batters have reached, two runs are in. A pitch to Max Muncy. Fouled off at home plate, strike one. Muncy is 0 for 1 with a walk and a steal. Righty, righty, infield in. Grounded foul left side. No balls and two strikes on the young shortstop. And the point here, bring in Maciel from third base. Tossin's pitch, down low. Barbary, the catcher, good job knocking it down. Tossin has tossed four wild pitches this year. Two triples in the inning for the Lugnuts. The 1-2. Low again. Off the outside corner to boot. Two balls and two strikes on the patient Muncy. It's such an easy and quick swing. Short, quick. Tons of violence. 2-2. Low for ball three. Not tempted by Tossin. He has worked the count full after it started up. Strike one, strike two on a couple of fouls. One man out. Maciel at third. Payoff pitch. Ground ball hit on the left side. Maciel stays put. Trey Cruz, the third baseman, throws to first for the out. And then Austin Murr immediately runs across the diamond. Maciel was splitting this way and that. Another ground out to Trey Cruz. Muncy can't get the job done. And now two outs. This brings up A. Ribiel Angeles. Infield backs up, righty to righty. Inside, and that hits Angeles. Second HBP of the frame for Bryce Tossin. He plunked Brian Buelbas earlier. Angeles is in pain. Head athletic trainer Jake Ruthier is over. Checking out that right arm. And manager Phil Pohl is walking over there too. About 2/5 up the first baseline. Ruthier examines. The Lugnuts just lost Drew Swift to a broken wrist off a hit by a pitch at Great Lakes. So anytime any of those Lugnuts are being examined by Jake Ruthier, your heart just gets caught up in your throat, and it goes the same way on the other side too. Yesterday it's 15-8. It's the ninth inning, and we saw Aaron Haas come in out of the bullpen for these West Michigan Whitecaps. Just going through his warm-up pitches, his assignment recorded the final three outs of the game, and he was injured in warm-ups. You hate to see it. Angeles remains in. You like to see that. Walks gingerly up the first base side. Jack Winkler will be the batter. The runners are at the corners. Two outs. Lugnuts 2, Whitecaps 1. Second baseman Mendoza's right up the middle. Winkler this year has gone the opposite field a lot we saw early. Righty to righty. Breaking ball outside corner. Strike one called. Well thrown by Tassan. Flyer to right. Ground out to third so far for Winkler. Here's the pitch. Low and in. Jack Winkler has reached base in 7 consecutive games coming into play here today. 2-1, Lugnuts lead, 2 outs. The deal, low, 2 balls and 1 strike. He is the number 3 hitter in the order. The pitch. Bouncing ball hit left of the mound. Cruz charges. Cruz cannot field it. Everybody is safe. Maciel scores. Anales is up to second base, and Winkler is on. An RBI infield single, and the Lugnuts are up 3-1. It was do or die for Trey Cruz. He needed to grab that, transfer it, and fire it in a hurry, and he couldn't complete step one. That's going to do it for Bryce Tassan. Brian Pena is out of the dugout. Tassan is coming out. And we're going to see R.J. Pettit coming in. Anales at second. Winkler on at first. 2 outs in a 3-run so far. Bottom of the 5th inning for the Lansing Lugnuts. They had been blanked up until this frame. And on one hit, Joey Wentz threw the first 3. Tassan, the perfect 4th inning, getting 3 grounders. Well, there have been some grounders here in this bottom of the 5th inning, but there have also been 2 HBPs and 2 triples to right center. And in the end, it was the end. Tassan done. R.J. Pettit is in. A big man. Pettit at 6'8", 291 pounds, 14th rounder. I was back last year out of Rock Hill, South Carolina, the ace of Charleston Southern. I remember when they drafted him and just how good he was in college. So far this year, Pettit 1-1 with a 2.6 ERA and 25 relief appearances, 35 strikeouts, 9 walks in 27 and 2/3 innings. The league is batting just .215 against the right-hander. By the way, Charleston Southern, the Buccaneers. Jared McDonald will be coming up to home plate. McDonald, the former Wolf out of Western Oregon. Before that, he was a Grand Canyon Antelope. Winkler at first, Anales at second. Pettit's first offering. And there for a called strike. 3 Lugnuts runs. A 3-1 lead. Last of the 5th. A 2-run triple by Gabriel Maciel. An RBI infield single for Jack Winkler. 2-1, 2 out, righty to righty. Here's the pitch to McDonald. Breaking ball down low. 1-1. R.J. Pettit can really swing it. And he can really spin it. McDonald can swing it. Pettit can spin it. I'm not sure how good Pettit is at swinging it. The deal. Runs low and inside. Whether that's, I don't know, in the batter's box in the batting cage or whether that's on the golf course. But his slider is tight and sharp. The 2-1. That 2 misses. 3-1. Now let's say he walks McDonald. We'll see Cooper Bowman coming up with the bases loaded and 2 outs. On 3-1, does McDonald get a pitch to hit? Here it comes. On the inside corner, strike two called. Pretty stuff. That's a pitcher's pitch. Payoff. Fouled straight back. Let's try it again. Angeles and Winkler, the runners. McDonald, the batter, the cleanup hitter in the order, the DH. 0 for 2 with two ground outs. 3-1 lug nuts. Here it comes. Breaking ball swatted. Foul up the right side. And bouncing down in the seats. Three balls, two strikes. We'll try it once more. Out of Scottsdale, Arizona. McDonald waits. Pettit fires. Fly ball to center field. Malgeri ranges to his right. He waits. He's got it. And Pettit gets the Whitecaps out of the jam. Lugnut score three runs on three hits and two hit batters in the bottom of the fifth inning. The big blow, a two-run triple by Gabriel Maciel. Onward to the sixth inning. Lugnuts with their first lead of the day, 3-1 over West Michigan.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Protect her home and family in a disaster. Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Three to one, the Lugnuts now lead over the West Michigan Whitecaps. Angelo Infante towing the rubber with the lead to his back. From Jackson Field in Michigan State Capitol, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. We are onward into the sixth. Five innings are in the books. Infante, 1 1/3, scoreless inning so far for the Lugnuts. He has faced the minimum. He has allowed one base hit, a single by Corey Joyce in the fifth inning. That was erased on an Austin Murr line out into a double play. Now he deals to Jake Holton, the cleanup man. First offering is lofted over the second baseman, Bowman. That's a base hit in the right center. Right fielder Buelbas attacked it in a hurry to get it in. A leadoff first pitch single by Holton. He's on base for a second time in the game, joining his walk earlier. West Michigan now with eight base hits. The batter is Bryant Packard. The left-handed hitter, 1 for 2 with a single. Short lead at first for Holton. The pitch, the breaking ball is low. One ball and no strikes. Infante relieved Christian Fernandez in the fourth inning. The starter, Fernandez, went 3 2/3. He allowed the only West Michigan run, a home run hit by Trey Cruz. The toss, line drive, right field. Buelbas backs up. He's got it, though. And so Holton has to return to first base. There's out number one. With Maciel in left, Clark in center, and Buelbas in right, the Lugnuts really do have three outfielders capable of playing center field. Great range, great speed. Ben Malgeri now, 1-for-2. Singled to shortstop in the second inning, but then he was caught stealing in a double steal attempt. Flied out to center field in the fourth. Righty to righty, pitch on its way. That's a little up, ball one. One on, one out, with the Whitecaps looking for the answer. Outfield straight up, playing deep. The pitch. Malgeri hits it off the hands. Foul ground, first base side. Winkler over with the one-hand catch beyond the coach's box. Two outs. And now Trey Cruz. Tomorrow night, a Labatt Blue Thirsty Thursday here at Jackson Field. Different feel to the ballpark atmosphere. $2 domestic drafts and $5 craft drafts. Lugnuts and the Whitecaps. Game 3 of the 6-game series. We'll see the right-hander Cater Montero for the Caps against Joey Estes of the Nuts. The pitch called a strike. Infante starting off Trey Cruz with a fastball. Cruz 1-for-2 with a dinger. He is the reason the Whitecaps have the run. Down 3-1. Halton at first. The pitch. Ground ball down to third base. Grabbed by Angeles. Looks at second. Throws to first. Gets the out. Cooper Bowman had not yet covered at second base. So Angeles went to option two. I should say, not Angeles. That's actually Alexander Campos. Now in to play third base for the Lugnuts. Remember, Angeles was hit by a pitch and shaken up in the bottom of the fifth inning. So Campos, the new third baseman. And Angelo Infante works a scoreless sixth inning. We go to the bottom of the sixth. It's 3-1, Lansing on top of West Michigan.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
One for the Whitecaps in the top of the fourth inning. 3 for the Lugnuts in the bottom of the fifth. We go to the bottom of the sixth. Nuts 3, Whitecaps 1. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Adam Jaxa does not join me. He's got a day job whenever there's a weekday day game. The first offering from R.J. Pettit called a strike in the outside corner to Cooper Bowman. And so that means that there is a spare seat at my side for whoever wants to suddenly drop in. Bowman takes off the outside corner. 1-1. And so let's say if Chris Brown from the Detroit Tigers minor league report and so much more, how else should I introduce you?
I don't know about so much more, but...
Fastball up and inside.
Tigers minor league report sounds great. Jesse, thank you so much for
Chris
having me in here.
Chris Brown from the Detroit Tigers, the Tigers minor league reports. Sitting now to my left, comfortably enjoying a sweltering day. When you sit close to the window, and here we are in the press box, you can feel the wall of heat. Bowman swings and foul tips it at home plate and in the mid of the catcher Barbary.
We got a little hint and trick down there. If you sit close to the access door, sometimes you get a waft of cold air.
Pettit misses outside 3-2. It's like an air conditioning wind tunnel.
Yes. Still didn't keep my phone from overheating, though.
I'm sorry. But welcome inside. Payoff pitch for Cooper Bowman. Bounced foul, he stays alive. Bowman, Clark, McGuire, 5-6-7, the Lugnuts order, up against R.J. Pettit.
Now, Bowman is a new addition, isn't he?
He is, just acquired from the New York Yankees, four-player package for Frankie Montas and Lou Trevino. He swings and pops this pitch up. Foul ground, first base side. Catcher Barbary, first baseman Murr. It's Murr who takes it in front of the Lugnuts dugout. And one down. Denzel Clark is coming up next. How did you think the trade deadline went from a Detroit Tigers perspective?
Oh, for Tigers fans, they have to be a little bit disappointed. You know, the Tigers have one of the better bullpens in baseball this year, and they had a bunch of guys that seemed like they were valuable trade chips, and the Tigers did not get a whole lot for them.
Denzel Clark takes down low on appeal. He did not go. Ball one. I saw reports approaching the trade deadline saying things are going to be wild. Get ready. I don't think that it was that wild.
No, it wasn't. I agree with you. Outside of...
Fly ball right center field and hit well. Malgeri tracks it back. Way out there in the alleyway. Can't make the catch. Runs into the wall. It gets past him. Denzel Clark flies around to third base. Here comes the windmill. He's going to try for another. And he's going to score without a throw. Two strike games with an inside the park home run. And they still haven't stopped him flying through the dugout. 4-1 Lugnuts. Yesterday, it was when his fly ball got away in the left field corner from Austin Murr. Today, in deepest right center, Ben Malgeri runs into the wall. He couldn't track it, and that was all that Denzel Clark needed. Green lights the whole way. Shane McGuire takes ball one outside.
Denzel Clark is a really exciting player to watch. He just glides out there in center field, and he certainly flew around the bases there.
I mean, inside the park homers 2 days in a row, swing and a miss. The count on Shane McGuire, one ball, one strike.
Got to get the research department on that one, see the last time that happened.
Yeah. Do you know Elias personally?
No.
Do you know Sarah
Langs? No.
Call up Sarah Langs right now. One ball and one strike on McGuire, one for two. His first Lugnuts hit a triple his last time. Check swing, foul left side into the netting. The Lugnuts had a player, maybe you've heard of him, Tim LeCastro. He's made the major leagues.
He's quite speedy.
He had two inside-the-park home runs in one season. I thought that was cool. McGuire swings and grounds it foul right side. inside-the-park home runs in consecutive days is a new one on me.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
All right, let's get back to talking about the Tigers and the trade deadline.
Well, fair enough. No, as you were saying, it wasn't the craziest deadline other than the enormous Juan Soto deal.
Pettit just barely missed outside, 2-2.
And that was a pretty substantial deal. You know, it called to mind things like the Alex Rodriguez trade or the Miguel Cabrera trade from 15 years ago. But
slicer up in the air down the left side. Shallow. Packard over. Joyce goes out. I beg your pardon. It's Trey Cruz, the third baseman, out to make the catch. And McGuire's out number two. I felt, too, like Luis Castillo, the deal Mariners and Reds. There was so much that the Reds got from the Mariners that the feeling was, oh, maybe this will drive up the price elsewhere.
Absolutely, and you felt like, I think he ended up being really, other than Montas, one of the few big-time starting pitchers who actually ended up moving. There were names out there, Pablo Lopez, Tarek Skubal, among others, but not as crazy as we expected.
Brian Buelbas, the batter, Pettit's pitch hits him on the top of the back. He is hit for a second consecutive inning.
Jeez. That's three in the last two innings, right?
He's a very pleasant person, by the way.
Yes. Well, you know what we used to talk about last year is, of course, that R.J. Pettit, whose name looks like Petite,
yes,
is, 6'7", 6'8"?
According to Dan Hastie's roster, 6'8", 291.
And then you've got Aaron Haas. Haas is kind of a name that you would expect to be big, and he is, I believe, 5'9".
Zach Short, does he live up to his name as a shortstop?
I think he's about 6'1".
And okay.
Then we also have Josh Crouch, of course, the catcher for the Tigers, and Bryce Tausen, good name for a pitcher.
Have you ever heard of the term aptonym? Gabriel Maciel lines one up the middle, a base hit to center field. Ryan Buelbas checks into second as Malgeri gets it in, a single for Maciel.
Yes, it's along the lines of a metonym or a synonym and an antonym? Yes, an aptonym. I like it.
An aptonym is when that name is apt.
Yeah, yes.
The Lugnuts, unfortunately, Drew Swift is on the shelf on the injured list with an injury, but Swift.
Yes.
Swift, crit base-stealing threat.
Former Arizona State product.
Yes, sir. Spencer Torkelson, Gage Workman teammates. Pettit misses low and away. Ball one to Max Muncy. joined by Chris Brown of the Tigers Minor League Report because he happened to be in the neighborhood and the seat was open.
Yeah, and it's exciting to see Max Muncy, I'll tell you that.
2-on-2 out, Muncy takes a ball. 2 balls, no strikes. He's shown off good plate discipline. He's shown off power. He's shown off speed. Just an outstanding athlete at 19 years old. 4-1, Lugnuts in the sixth. Here's the deal. Inside. All right, those have been my initial impressions just in watching him. What have you thought of Max Muncy?
No, the first thing I was going to say was I've been impressed with his eye. You know, he walked against Joey Wentz, who was, you know, a rehabbing big leaguer, basically, or a triple-A pitcher at least, and didn't...
Muncy takes a called strike in the outside corner.
He definitely seems to have a good idea of what he wants to swing at. And that pitch right there, outside corner, he didn't want to swing at that, and he knew he had more strikes to work with. So it's impressive discipline for a 19-year-old, that's for sure.
Pat hits 3-1. Ground ball hit on a high hop foul up the left side. Went off of Muncy first. So let's make that count 3-2.
So, defense for me is a little bit harder to judge. Just you need to see it, I think, more. He did have a play early in the game where he couldn't quite squeeze the ball, and it was an infield single against Ben Malgeri, who's a pretty speedy runner. But as I said, you want to see a guy play defense for a while to see how he adjusts and see what he can do.
Pettit shakes off the sign. Has it from the catcher, Barbary. 2-on-2 out. Payoff pitch. Outside, ball 4. Second walk drawn by Muncy. The bases are loaded with 2 outs against Pettit for Alexander Campos. About that, though, in terms of about the defense and you trying to look at the Detroit Tigers prospects in particular and watching these guys and watching the infielders out there, Cruz at third, Joyce at short, Mendoza at second, Murr at first, you might read about a player's scouting report. You might try to see it, but you just hope that, like Trey Cruz today, they get as many chances as possible.
Yeah, sometimes you'll see a guy make a spectacular play that you didn't realize he had the ability to do, and sometimes it's just the simple ones that you need to see.
Campos takes a ball up and inside. Alexander Campos replaced Aribil Anales. You mentioned, Chris, about the double HBP. Anales hit by a pitch last inning and departed because of that precautionary reasons. Padded throws. Campos grounds a base hit in a right field. In comes Brian Buelvas. Around third base, Gabriel Maciel. The throw to the plate is cut. Both runners are in. Muncy stops at second on the Campos two-run single. And now it's 6-1 Lugnuts.
I feel like a big league color guy would say that was a beautiful piece of hitting. He really brought his hands in there and kind of shot it the other way through the gap between first base and second base. That was impressive.
Look at you.
That's, I know cliches when I see them.
You want me to offer color commentary on your color commentary?
Sure.
The fun part about it, though, is you and I know that there's something to that. When you as a batter, you see where those fielders are situated, you know what you have to do.
Yeah.
And in that case, all Campos had to do was ground it through the open right side.
Yeah, and for Tigers fans, that was something we've kind of seen a lot of from Miguel Cabrera this year. He's not the big, beefy slugger he once was, but he still has those kind of magic hands. Like I compare him more to a tennis player. He could just kind of drop the ball where he wants to.
It's place hitting.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that Miguel Cabrera would be the second coming of Wee Willie Keeler?
Hit it where they ain't.
New man on the mat is Andrew Shapps, the southpaw, replacing R.J. Pettit in the bottom of the sixth inning. Shapps we first saw earlier last year and then this year with the Great Lakes Loons. The lefty has made 12 appearances for the White Caps. He's been better for the Caps than the Loons. But the problem has been command. 14 walks, 12 strikeouts, and 13 2/3 innings. He inherits 2 runners, 2 outs, 3 runs are in the bottom of the sixth, and the Lugnuts are leading by a 6-1 score. Joined by Chris Brown of the Tigers Minor League Report, let's step back from the specific plays that we're seeing and look overall at this Whitecaps team. So today for the Whitecaps, before we get into the specific players, you're here. Joey Wentz, rehab appearance.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Joey?
I thought he looked, the main thing you want to see is health, and at least according to the scoreboard, he was healthy. He was throwing 93, 96. I saw him touch 97 once. The changeup got some swings and misses. He got a swing and miss with his breaking ball, I think, so he's shown 3 pitches. I do think, as you mentioned on the broadcast, that his command started to waver there in the third inning. I think he was only scheduled for 3 innings, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with him going forward, if they want to work him as a long reliever or a one-inning guy or try to build him back up to being a starter, but I was pleased with what I saw.
What's your expectation for his future with the Tigers?
You know, I thought for most of the year, I thought he was going to have to move to the bullpen because he just wasn't pitch efficient. And then his first big league start looked like that. And then the second big league start, he looked outstanding. He was throwing tons of strikes, and then he left with an injury. So I'm really perplexed. That's what to do.
Well, here we go. Runners are at first and second base. Jack Winkler takes a called strike from the southpaw Shaps.
Here's an interesting thing. You know, a lot of the Tigers' development staff has come over from the Dodgers, which would be, of course, the parent organization of the Great Lakes Loons. And you have a pitcher.
This pitch is down and in, and that strikes Winkler. And so the bases are loaded. There's HBP number four in two innings. Two in the fifth and now two in the sixth.
That's unfortunate. You have a pitcher here at Shaps who you mentioned was on the Loons earlier this
year.
He's pitching to a catcher, Chase Barbary, who was on the Loons, I believe, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And he's barely played, but I think he had a game where his first two hits in like 5 years were two doubles.
It's amazing. And Chase already earlier today, he's one for two with a single.
Yeah.
Base is loaded, two gone. Jared McDonald swings and lines the first pitch he sees. Base hit center field. Muncie scores. Campos is on his way in. He scores as well. Throw into shortstop from center fielder Malgeri. Two-run single McDonald. Winkler stopping at second. The Lugnuts lead is now 8-1.
I was watching Muncie round the bases there and a nice quick strides, and I also saw him try to high-five Campos and nearly get hit in the face. So that was kind of fun. But he seems fine.
Fun for who?
Well, he seems fine. I don't think it actually hit him. But, yeah, this one's getting ugly for the Whitecaps, but certainly pleasant for the Lugnuts.
You know, they say minor leagues is about development. This pitch is inside from Shaps, ball one to Cooper Bowman. It's development, too, when it comes to high-fiving.
Yes. It all needs work. It's all part of your hands.
Shaps throws. Swing and a miss. Ball and a strike for Bowman, who is 0 for 3, including fouling out to first base for the first out of this inning.
Is this Bowman's second game here or
this
third?
This is game two,
He hit a home run yesterday, huh?
And an RBI single.
Nice.
And played a fine defensive second base and stole a base. It was a good first impression. It takes a pitch outside.
If I'm not mistaken, he's from Louisville, right?
Yes.
Yes. Usually a lot of good players coming out of there.
I enjoy, too, that he's from Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh.
Shaps throws. Low and in. Three balls, one strike.
Oddly enough, no Rapids in Rapid City. I have no idea. I'm sure there are.
Are there?
Yeah, I'm sure there are. Either that or, you just move through it rapidly.
Well, the Grand Rapids Dam Breakers, the West Michigan Dam Breakers, to try to make sure that the Rapids near Comstock Park are grand once more.
Yeah, there you go.
The 3-1. Inside and low, ball four. Bowman walks, bases reloaded. Chris, I'm glad that I've got you here so we're able to talk. We've got time to talk.
No, I appreciate it. This is fun for me. Obviously, it's a privilege to join any kind of broadcast, and it's fun watching baseball from this vantage point. And who knows, maybe we'll get a second inside the park home run in one inning.
You get to see me trimming the highlights as I do so, right? All the different things that we're working on behind the scenes. Denzel Clark earlier this inning and inside the park home run. First pitch of his second at-bat of the inning is taken for a called strike. My goodness.
I mean, there are all sorts of things that you could ponder here. How many times has a guy hit inside the park home run and a grand slam in the same inning?
Can't be too often. The pitch, grounded foul left side, strike two. By the way, back to Andrew Shaps, the man on the mound. With Bowman at first, McDonald at second, Winkler at third, and the Lugnuts have plated five here in the bottom of the sixth for an 8-1 lead. What I remember about Shaps was that he was a favorite of Austin Shove, the Loons manager, as a two-way player. Deals. That is lifted high in the air, right side of the infield. Second baseman Mendoza, first baseman Murr. It's Mendoza the catch, add into shallow right. And so Clark, in the end, makes the final out of the bottom of the sixth and sends us to the seventh. That was a fun frame if you're a Lugnuts fan. Off we go. Clark and inside the park home run. Two-run singles for Alexander Campos and Jared McDonald. The lead is now 8-1. Lugnuts over the Whitecaps.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a team from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe."
Think that it was that wild.
Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Kumar Nambiar is out of the Lugnuts bullpen. Onward we go. 8-1 Lugnuts into the seventh inning. So glad to have you along with me. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. 8-1 Nuts. Chris Brown from the Tigers minor league report is joining. Esnisha Cohn leads off the top of the seventh inning and takes a called strike in the outside corner. Chris was wondering if it was time for me to evict him, but I say not yet because now we actually get to talk about the Whitecaps hitters. The pitch to Chacon. Fly to foul off the right side. On the count, very quickly, nothing and two. What are your thoughts on Chacon?
He's an interesting guy. He's very fast. I want to say he stole about 48 bases 2-3 years ago down in rookie ball. But he's so lithe, you know. You wonder if he's got much of an impact. But he seems to have a decent idea of the strike zone and has some bat-to-ball skills. So it's kind of a, you know, I wouldn't put him on a top 30 prospect list, but he's a guy to pay attention to.
Nambiar's pitch, low and in. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Chacon is 0-for-2 with a line out to center and a ground out to third base so far in this game. Taking on the lefty out of Yale, Kumar Nambiar. Nambiar's pitch, inside, count is full. It's an interesting Whitecaps lineup when I look at this squad. They're the best team in the Midwest League in the second half. Nambiar's pitch. That's a line foul hooking down the left side.
You know, what strikes me or stands out to me about the Whitecaps this year, at least for most of the season, is the number of guys with elevated walk rates, which is not a hallmark of the Tigers over the last, I don't know, 2-3 decades. But they have, I want to say, 6-7 regulars with double-digit walk rates this year.
What do you... And I'm going to say, first, a swing and a miss. Strike 3, Esni Chacon. What was the word I was looking for? What do you chalk that up to, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
You know, it could partially be a change in the drafting aspect. You know, guys like Austin Murr weren't traditional Tigers picks. He's more of a light-hitting corner outfielder, infielder, but one with a great eye. And you see a guy like Corey Joyce, these just more college guys with experience here in high A, tend to lead to better eyes, generally. Trey Cruz is a very patient hitter. Carlos Mendoza.
We're talking about Max Muncy. Foul off to the right side. 1-1 on Chase Barbary, the catcher.
No, and yeah, for me, of course, it's more impressive when you see a 19-year-old with a great eye than it is when you see a 23, 24-year-old.
Well, the feeling is a great eye is an old man skill.
Yeah, or innate, as it were. And
as pitch misses inside, 2-1.
And when it comes in conjunction with power and speed and potential shortstop defense, well, you got yourself a prospect there.
Nambiar's pitch. Barbary takes the ball outside.
And Max Muncy's another example of why you have to look beyond some traditional stats. I don't think he's hitting for a terribly high average this year, but that doesn't concern me at all watching him play.
3-1. Flat foul down the right side. Count is full on Barbary with the leadoff man Carlos Mendoza waiting on deck.
And Mendoza's a fun story. He's just kind of made his way through the system without much fanfare. He's the son of a former big leaguer.
There's a swing and a foul. Out of play off to the right side.
I believe his dad's nickname was Gelatin.
Do you know the story?
I think because he was very, he did a lot of gyration in the batter's box.
Oh, that's great. Well, payoff pitch. High and outside, ball four. Chase Barbary is on. Top of the order time, and here comes Mendoza. Barbary continues his productive offensive game.
Now, and it's for as fun as it is to watch the Whitecaps play this year, they've been, you know, performed very well. There aren't a ton of top prospects in the roster right now. They did call up Isaac Pacheco, their supplemental first-rounder last year.
And let's talk about that as Carlos Mendoza takes a ball high. After yesterday's game, Ty Madden promoted up to Double-A Erie.
Yes, indeed.
And Pacheco is the move. Not pitcher for pitcher, but I would say prospect for prospect.
Yeah, and
1-0, misses is, high.
Sorry. It's very reminiscent to me of what happened last year. They had a young high schooler down in Low-A Lakeland named Colt Keith, who they brought up, and his high-A debut was here in Lansing, and we came up to watch him.
I happen to like Colt Keith's game an awful lot.
Yes. Now, I don't think Pacheco is quite the hitter, the pure hitter that Colt Keith is. He may have more raw power, and I think he's actually a little bit better of an athlete.
Curveball from Nambiar misses. And Nambiar is way behind Mendoza. Three balls, no strikes. A runner at first base in Barbary, one man out, top of the seventh. And the Whitecaps are batting, trailing the Lugnuts by an 8-1 score. On the 3-0. And there is a called strike.
Now, the thing with Pacheco, he's already 6'4", 225 pounds at 19 years old. So,
what's he going to grow into?
That's my concern. He's playing third now, some shortstop.
As pitch is high, Nambiar has walked two in a row.
I'm reminded that Jim Thome was once a third baseman, and Pacheco shares some similarities with Jim Thome in terms of frame.
I mean, if you share with Jim Thome, whatever that might be.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 8 home runs this year. He's not going to hit 600 home runs in his career, but he's an exciting prospect for the Tigers, and it's nice to see a guy. He's performing well, roughly 16, 17% above average for low A, if you want to get specific. So it's a nice reward for him to come up here and see what the next level challenge is.
Pitching coach Don Schulze is on his way out to the mound. Esne Chacon started off this frame with a strikeout against Nambiar, but then Barbary walked, Mendoza walked, and now we get into those danger hitters. Corey Joyce followed by Murr and Holton, Packard, Malgeri, and Cruz. It's the top of the seventh inning. A bit of a lull has fallen over the game because the Lugnuts scored 3 runs in the fifth and then came back with 5 runs in the sixth inning. 8-1 feels comfortable. You never know. This was a West Michigan team that scored 15 runs yesterday with 4 home runs. And here's a guy in Corey Joyce who had one of those home runs. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Chris Brown from the Tigers Minor League Report, talking about the Tigers minor leaguers, specifically these Whitecaps, but also the entire system.
Yeah, now you mentioned Ty Madden, yesterday's starter. He was promoted after the game. Yeah. I think he pitched here twice.
First offering from Nambiar misses inside. Ball one to Joyce.
And neither outing here in Lansing was particularly effective for him. In fact, he gave up 10 hits yesterday, which equaled the total number of hits he gave up in all of July.
That's baseball, isn't it? Joyce takes. Call the strike, working the inside corner from Nambiar.
So, but yeah, he was the Tigers' second first rounder last year. And, a guy who fell in the draft because of some concerns about his fastball shape. And he doesn't miss a ton of at bats, but.
A 1-1 break even is waved out and missed. Good off speed, strike two. I enjoy a team balancing the draft. Mm-hmm. And the Tigers going high ceiling high schooler Jackson Jobe, coming right back with a great college pitcher in Ty Madden last year. Was tons of fun. And then Pacheco. His pitch misses low and away. 2 balls, 2 strikes.
Yeah, I know. Last time we were up here, we had a nice deep discussion about draft
philosophy.
Yes. It is fun to see what teams choose to do in the draft.
Seeing the draft as a whole. The 2-2 lifted, hooking deep to left field. Down the line toward the corner. That ball falls foul. Maciel trying to chase it the entire way. Joyce called back up to home plate. A count of 2 balls and 2 strikes. Oh, if you see that draft, you say, it's not just the first rounder. Mm-hmm. It's who are the entirety of
the high ceiling guys? How does each player balance the other? Who are we going to hand which amount of money to? The obvious way to put it is, look at the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, there you go. Kumar Rocker and Brock Porter.
Right. But I really enjoyed Jackson Jobe tying Madden last year. The 2-2. High fly, shallow right. Second baseman Bowman heads out. Buelbas comes in from right field, there to make the catch. And the runners will not tag as the throw comes in. Joyce flies out for out number two.
Yeah, and so Jackson Jobe has been pitching down in low A Lakeland all year. And it's a very funny thing for us as the Tigers minor league report, where we often, there's no cameras for most of the stadiums down there. It's unfortunate, but so we'll often post stats of Jackson Jobe, and when we do, we get a lot of comments of people complaining about him. But last week...
Wonderful?
You could see him pitch in Bradenton.
Austin Merce guys the first pitch he sees out to center field. Clark backs up. He's under. He's got the catch, and I'll ask you to hold that thought, Chris, because we hit the stretch, and I've got a job to do. Scoreless frame, Kumar Nambiar, 8-1, Lugnuts, middle of the seventh. We roll onward. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Chris Brown from the Tigers minor league report joining me for one last half inning as we go to the bottom of the seventh. And the Lansing Lugnuts up 8-1 on the West Michigan Whitecaps. Lugnuts coming up here. It's going to be Shane McGuire, Brian Buelbas, and then Gabriel Maciel after an 11-batter, 5-run bottom of the sixth inning. So... the lefty Andrew Schaps deals, and the first offering sprayed to center field. In comes Malgeri, and the hop gets past him. McGuire's a base hit and more. He races for second base, and he's content to stop right there. Two bags for McGuire on the first pitch from Andrew Schaps of the home seventh. Lugnuts are right back in business, looking to add to this 8-1 lead. Brian Buelbas is coming up. Let me bring back in Chris Brown of the Tigers minor league report, because in the top half of this inning, I believe right as we hit the stretch, we had talked about, we'd reached Jackson Jobe.
Yes, the exciting third overall pick from last year's draft. The Tigers took, there was lots of proclamations about how advanced he was, how talented he was. Some Tigers said that he was more advanced at this stage than Josh Beckett was at the same age.
Which, okay.
That was malarkey. Not to be mean about it, he just is not that advanced. He's very talented, but it's not that level yet.
Buelbas, after taking a strike, takes a ball from the lefty Schaps, 1-1.
But the point I was making earlier was that if we just post his stats, everyone complains in our mentions.
Of course.
When we post the videos, everyone talks about how awesome he is. And neither of them are right.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, we post highlights.
So we're going to ground ball foul to the left side. Oh, you mean to say that you don't post the 2-2 breaking ball that gets fouled away?
Well, we do on our YouTube page. We will throw the whole outing because we think that's important. There's no replacement for coming to the game and watching the action. But, you know, minor league TV gives you a good approximation, at least of every aspect of the actual game.
Breaking ball down and in on appeal. Buelmas did not go around too far. Two balls, two strikes. McGuire at second, nobody out. Lugnuts batting up 8-1 in the last of the seventh.
So later on, you will see 2.5 innings of Joey Wentz from behind home plate from me, and then the final two batters from MILB TV with your mellifluous voice guiding us.
Uh-oh. 2-2. Swinging a ground ball, pulled foul to the left side. It just has always seemed to me that with all of these players, we can take a Shaps on the mound, we can take a Buelmas in the batter's box, or you name the guy. The work that gets put in that you and I might not see. And there might be struggles because they're trying something new. The deal. Breaking ball on the outside corner, called strike three. Great snapdragon and the first strikeout for Shaps. All of this development is legit. The side sessions for the pitchers or all that work in the cage with the hitting coaches. And maybe you actually do see that light bulb click on sometime during the year, maybe in the off season and then the next season. But it staggered me to see players, and I'm sure you're the same, who seriously struggled at some point in the minor leagues, and then they make the majors. Gabriel Maciel takes a ball up and away.
And it's not uncommon to see guys struggle in the majors for quite some time before they figure it out. The example right now people are using is Austin Riley, who just got extremely well paid.
Good for him.
He struggled for his first year and a half.
The ball went offering on its way. Bowled away to the right side. But isn't it weird? Baseball's tough.
Yeah, who knew? The guys who throw 99 and also can make the ball move 2 feet. You bring up a great point. We're all at an information deficit, and it gets wider the farther away we are from the game. So you're here every day. You're going to know more than I am. I come here more than the average fan, so I'm going to know a little bit more than them. And you really don't get a feel for how much work these guys put in until you come here, and you're here every day, and you see the guys here at noon for a 7 o'clock game working on ground balls.
1-1 pitch on its way. Maciel takes inside. Just to talk over specific anecdotes and examples, Kendall Graveman, drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays, was sent immediately to Lansing in 2013, and his fastball was something like 85, 86 miles an hour. And he comes back the next year. And in 2014, he goes from the single-A Midwest League, back when we were single-A, low-A, to the major leagues in 1 year. But you could not have told me that Kendall Graveman was going to be the current version. His pitches are entirely different. He now works in the bullpen. We saw him as a starting pitcher, sinker, slider guy. It's guys' identities change. Swing and a miss by Maciel.
One of the ones we talk about a lot with the Tigers is Tarik Skubal.
Yes.
Who was an extreme four-seam fastball guy coming through the minors because he was it was a high-spin pitch. And he didn't need much else. And he struck a lot of guys out. And he got to the majors. And he wasn't working as well. And then they outlawed the sticky stuff.
This pitch is down low. The count, 3 balls, 2 strikes on Maciel.
And he struggled mostly with home runs last year. Tons of home runs. And he remade himself to where he now has an above-average-to-plus changeup, an above-average-to-plus slider, an above-average-to-plus sinker. And he still has the four-seamer. And he's turned himself into a legitimate above-average big league pitcher. And, yeah, it's the sort of things you can't learn about a guy just from watching him play.
Shaps is payoff. Breaking ball down. He has walked Maciel. Other two Lugnuts on, one man out in the bottom of the seventh inning. Top of the order coming up, and here's Max Muncy against the Southpaw. 8-1 Lugnuts lead. More action in the West Michigan pen, oh, by the way. The right-hander's warming up.
Looks like Stuka.
It is the side-arming Ted Stuka.
Big 6'7" Stukester.
Here's the pitch to Max Muncy. Up and away, ball one. When I see a sidearmer wearing a Whitecaps uniform, I think of John Schreiber first.
Oh, yeah. Who was? There's another guy. Tigers had him up. He was throwing about 89 to 91. They eventually released him. Now he's with Boston throwing 95, 96.
Muncy takes down low, skips away from Barbary. Both runners advance. McGuire to third base and Maciel to second. Passed ball charge to Chase Barbary. I mean, the Yankees have Nestor Cortez and Jose Trevino. You can look team after team after team and say, who is your player who has broken out later than people were expecting?
There's just no way to measure a guy like J.D. Martinez, his burning desire to constantly get better and remake himself.
Breaking ball outside. Three balls, no strikes on Muncy. I think about Jose Bautista.
Oh, great
story
example.
That I heard with the Blue Jays was it was working with the umpteenth hitting coach who had told him, you're late, you're late, you're late, and so exaggeratedly, because he was feeling grumpy, he lifted up his foot way too early. Bouncing ball, foul up the third base side. He lifted up his foot as early as possible just to troll this hitting coach. And he said, how about that? Am I now on time? And the hitting coach said, finally, you are on time. Bautista said, wait, I need to be that early? And the hitting coach said, yes. And that changed everything. 3-1. Strike two called outside corner. Uh-oh, bet got flipped. Somebody needs to get Max's bat. Campos is going to do the honors.
Yeah, that reminds me of, I think it's the story of the invention of potato chips.
Yes, go ahead.
Where somebody was ordering French fries, of course, then called chips, right? And they wanted them crispier. And they kept sending them back and sending them back, and the cook eventually got so upset that he just cooked them to, you know, fried them up until they were crunchy, and the guy said, this is fantastic.
Breaking ball, blown away. There goes the proper bat flip, and Muncy draws his third walk of the game. The bases are loaded with Lugnuts. And we'll see how much longer Shaps is in this game. Doesn't look like much longer. Here comes Brian Pena, and we should see the move made to Stuka soon.
Those are confident takes and confident backflips from young Max Muncy.
Do you remember Kenny Graham, though?
There's a Kenny Graham who was a hitting instructor for the Tigers, yes.
Yes. So Kenny Graham at one point was a hitting coach for the Lugnuts.
Oh.
And then he was later hired away from the by the Tigers, hitting instructor in the minor leagues. He's worked in the Milwaukee Brewers organization. And I remember asking him, I started off an interview with him saying, you are the hitting coach of this team. And I said, and he immediately looked me in the eye and he said, I am not. I am the assistant hitting coach. And I said, explain this. And he said, I know that my title is hitting coach. It is not my job to coach the player in hitting. It is my job for the player to coach himself and for me to assist him in coaching himself. It has to start with the player.
Interesting. Teach a man to hit, and he'll hit for a lifetime.
Yes. I don't know how you are as a fisherman.
Not good. I don't like taking the hook out.
We've got rain approaching and fast. And so we just saw the assistant general manager in charge of operations, Greg Kiger, went out for a quick word. We've got darkening clouds off to our left. But hey, the bottom of the seventh inning, it's the Lugnuts 8, the Whitecaps 1, and it's a new man on the mound. Right-hander Ted Stuka, what if I read the stats, Chris, and you let me know what you know? How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Ted Stuka so far for the Whitecaps, 19 appearances, 20 innings. He has allowed 23 hits and 18 runs. He's walked 19. He has struck out 20. The league batting .299 against him. I read that and I say, that's a lot of base runners.
It is. You know, he's an interesting guy. I believe he went to UC San Diego, maybe a Division II team. But yeah, he's a very tall, high-waisted guy, but he throws sidearm, which seems almost counterintuitive. But it's a funky look for teams. I suspect, I haven't looked deep into the stats, I suspect lefties have some fun against him. But yeah, it's a low to mid-90s fastball with some sink and a slider, I think, for the most part.
He's out of the pen to take on Alexander Campos. Campos replaced Aribiel Angeles in the middle innings. And he's 1-for-1 with a two-run single. And here he is here, bases loaded. There's only one man out, and the Lugnuts are leading 8-1. Right-hander against right-hander. And you're right, out of UC San Diego. Stuka lets it fly. Campos takes a called strike on the inside corner.
And, you know, we saw Campos last time when we talked about his great piece of hitting. He poked it through the right side, and it looks now like the Whitecaps have adjusted a little bit, and they've got Austin Murray, first baseman, shaded much more towards second base.
Mm-hmm. Campos tried old back, went around too far, strike two. I do see Lugnut staffers have masked by the tarp up the right side. Meanwhile, that conversation with the umpires, they want the lights turned on here in the ballpark right now.
I think I just caught some lightning out of the corner of my eye.
Mm-hmm. Swing and a miss. Campos goes down swinging. There's two outs in the bottom of the seventh. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. First batter strikeout.
That was pretty uncomfortable looking at bat, and that's the sort of thing you might expect from a 6'7" side armor against the right-handed batter.
And now Stuka takes on the number three batter in the order, Jack Winkler, the San Francisco Don. The lights are, in fact, on. Righty, righty. Pitch is inside. Ball one. Winkler is 1-for-3 with an RBI single and a hit by pitch. At third base, it's McGuire. At second base, Maciel. And at first base, Muncy. The triple M's. There's a ground ball foul.
3M, yeah.
Turn that M upside down, you get the W for Winkler.
Yeah. It's been an awful lot of traffic on the bases here these last few innings. I can't help but feel like I'm a bad luck charm for the Whitecaps.
Lansing gridlock.
I do love this park, though. I don't know if I've told you that before.
We enjoy you coming out and watching some baseball.
I just love it when the parks are crammed into a city block.
The break even. Outside, barely. Try that fastball. 2 balls, 1 strike. They had to widen Larch Street, located up the first base side. As you see, if you're watching MILB.TV, the thickening, darkening clouds to our left of that storm soon to be arriving here. Stuka throws. Check swing down low. On appeal, he did not go. Larch Street is the street running first base side northbound past the right field foul pole. It was not wide enough when they put the stadium here. They had to change, or I should say it was too wide. They had to narrow it in order to fit the stadium in. Here's the pitch. That's a strike called on the Stuka fastball. 3-2 on Winkler.
Yeah, I was just this weekend. I was trying to convince a bunch of friends to come here for a game one day. Such a great experience and family friendly and affordable.
Did you say bring your umbrella? Payoff pitch. Winkler grounds it to second baseman Mendoza. He grabs, takes his time, throws to first. Side retired. Inning over. Lugnuts don't score. In the frame, there was a double and 2 walks and 3 left. And Chris Brown, this has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Chris Brown from the Tigers Minor League Report. Check them out and all that they do for analysis and videos. And, I don't know, give them some grief if you want to overreact to how the Tigers Minor Leaguers are performing. 8-1 Lugnuts. We go to the 8th inning from Lansing.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager, learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Hello, Ashley Loudon, tuned in from Michigan State University in East Lansing. We go to the 8th inning. The lights are on, though it's 3:27 p.m. Eastern Time. There's a storm a-brewing. The Lugnuts leading at home over the West Michigan Whitecaps 8-1. Kumar Nambiar is scoreless top of the 7th inning. And the next man on the mound, the right-hander Brock Whittlesey, the bearded one for the Nuts, who deals. On the first offering of the top of the 8th inning, grounded to shortstop, taken in by Muncy attacking in, flicks it over to first base, and on one pitch, one gone, Jake Holton retired. So Nambiar in the 7th inning, 1 frame, he walked 2, he stranded 2, and that'll work just fine. He replaced Angelo Infante, who went 2 1/3 scoreless innings, 2 hits allowed, no runs, no walks, no strikeouts. Whittles hit a Brian Packard now. Right down the middle, strike 1 called. I think everybody understands the urgency currently at hand, and this has become beat the storm. Top of the 8th. 0-1 pitch, inside. Brian Packard is 1-for-3. Single to center, fly to left, line out to right. There was a Lugnuts game against the Fort Wayne Tin Caps some years back. 1-1, up very high.
where it was clear that there was a storm coming and coming soon. And yet the Lugnuts, with that storm, the storm clouds massing above, mounted a rally in the top of the seventh inning and won the game. 3-1 pitch, check swing, missed outside. It's Ben Malgeri waiting on deck for these Whitecaps. About an hour drive separates these two cities, Comstock Park and Lansing. Whittlesey's pitch. Fly ball, left field, hit well, Maciel goes back. He stops, he turns around, and he makes the catch in front of the warning track. Oh, there's two outs. And now Whittlesey looks to take on Malgeri and pitch a 1-2-3 frame. Really a pleasure to be joined by Chris Brown of the Tigers Minor League Report to break down the Tigers minor league system, because, look, it's MILB.TV, right? And so you're seeing this from both teams' angle. This is the one TV broadcast online. Ground ball, base hit up the right side for Ben Malgeri into the right field corner. He's thinking extra bases. Wilbon digs it out, gets it in. Malgeri scoots up to second with the double. 14th double of the year. First pitch swinging. And the inside-out stroke works out beautifully. Now Trey Cruz. I bring that up because as now we can see the rain to the north of us. That is all passing north. We'll see when it arrives here. There is a large Lugnut staff crew that is waiting on the tarp up the right field side. Brock Whittlesey to Trey Cruz. Fly ball, left field. Maciel in to his right down the line. Now to his left, makes the catch. Side retired. That's a scoreless frame for Whittlesey. And he strands the double by Malgeri. Let's go to the bottom of the eighth inning. It's the Lugnuts 8, the Whitecaps 1.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here's the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, outerwear, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
I don't know about you. I might be expecting some first pitch swings here. Storm nearing ever, ever closer as we go to the bottom of the eighth inning. Lugnuts up 8-1. Final chance for insurance. Ted Stuka hits the inside corner, called a strike to Jared McDonald. The humidity is overbearing, and it just has that feel that these clouds above, so thick, are going to open up. Righty to righty, McDonald takes a ball outside. Jared McDonald, 1-for-4 with a 2-run single in the Lugnuts 5-run sixth inning. Here's the pitch, inside. And the Lugnuts security force here is telling all the folks to clear the seating bowl. That lets you know how concerned they are about this storm. Here's the 2-1. Up and inside. I'm trying to get all the fans up on the concourse. Nobody on, nobody out. Bottom of the eighth. 8-1 Lugnuts. The righty Stuka. Let's it fly. Swing and a miss by McDonald. Bottom fell out. Full count. Cooper Bowman waits on deck, and then Denzel Clark.
If you missed it earlier, Denzel has back-to-back games with inside-the-park home runs. Ridiculous. 3-2 runs inside. McDonald takes ball four. So much for the quick half inning that I was envisioning, right? And here comes Cooper Bowman, another legendarily patient hitter. My feeling is when the rain does come, I would not be surprised to see the tarp called for. And then we'll see. Here's the pitch. Bowman takes a called strike on the inside corner. It could very well be one of those situations where they say, let's wait the minimum amount of time, which I believe is 30 minutes. And then everybody have yourselves a pleasant rest of your day. At 0-1 for Cooper. Bowman takes it in. Boy, that's running right at his belt loop. Bowman is 0-3 with a walk today. Second game with the Lugnuts, wearing number one. Here it comes. Yanked outside. Two balls, one strike from Stuka. Joey Wentz, Bryce Tassan, RJ Pettit, Andrew Schaps, and Stuka pitcher number five for the Caps. On the other side for the Lugnuts, Fernandez, Infante, Nambiar, and then Whittlesey. Four pitchers. That's on the outside corner. Not a called strike. One run, nine hits, one error for the Whitecaps. Eight runs, nine hits, no errors for the Lugnuts. Two big innings for the Nuts today. Stuka delivers. Swing and a miss by Bowman. Stuka strikes him out. Second strikeout for Ted Stuka. And now we'll take on Denzel Clark. On deck, what we have looming is the UC San Diego against University of San Diego matchup, Stuka against Shane McGuire. First, though, Clark takes ball one inside. Clark is 1-for-4 with the inside-the-park home run hit to right center. Bad bounce on center fielder Malgeri. That was all it took. Here's the pitch. Inside. Just like yesterday, bad bounce in the left field corner for Austin Murr. That was all it took. Denzel Clark now has five home runs this year with the Lugnuts. He slugged with Stockton before getting promoted, too. Here's the pitch. That's inside. Three balls and no strikes. Clark with a single-A Stockton ports, seven homers. 14 doubles, two triples. He's pretty good. Great power, great speed. On the 3-0 from Ted Stuka. On its way. Low and in, ball four. So things have gone walk, strikeout, walk. McDonald to second, Clark up to first base. Bring up Shane McGuire. Left-handed batter, Shane McGuire's 2-for-4 today. First pitch, low. McGuire's 2-for-4 with a triple and a double. San Diego Torero at home plate against the UC San Diego Triton. Stuka delivers. Outside for ball two. This has been the difficulty for Stuka, has simply been locating. And so now, so far in this outing, he struck out two, he's walked two. So Stuka has 21 walks and 22 strikeouts. And that is through 21 innings. The second baseman, Mendoza, comes over to the mound for a couple of words of advice. McDonald at second, Clark at first. And one man out in the bottom of the eighth inning. 8-1, the Lugnuts have the lead. Here's the pitch. Outside corner, strike called. 2-1. Brian Buelbas waits on deck. Just in case, more action in the Whitecaps' pen. Stuka throws. Swing and a miss. 2-2. Is he going to go walk, strikeout? Shane McGuire is going to attempt to prevent that.
Love his stroke so far in this game with that double and triple. 2-2. He chops it to shortstop. Joyce grabs, steps on second, throws to first. Double play. Inning over. Two walks, one left. We go to the ninth. Can we beat the rain? That's going to be the question. Lugnuts 8, Whitecaps 1. No rain yet.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
There's nothing like a Michigan summer. Whether enjoying one of our many summer festivals, a gathering on the lake, or a trip to wine country, Michigan has thousands of licensed establishments to help prepare and even host your next summertime celebration. So have fun, but know your limits and the limits of your guests. Have a designated driver available when necessary. Live, work, and play safe this summer.
A public service message from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
The wind is picking up. It's dark. The jerseys are getting tugged. And Brock Whittlesey is completing his warm-up pitches, and let's go with his ninth inning. What do you say? Get this game in before the rain arrives. 8-1 Lugnuts, three outs away from the win over West Michigan. Esni Chacon leads off the top of the ninth. First pitch, fastball right down the middle. Center cut, strike one called. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. We're seeing layers and layers of clouds right now forming. 0-1. Whittlesey yanked it outside. Chacon is 0-for-3 out of the number 8 spot. Line out, ground out, strike out. Chase Barbary on deck, and then Carlos Mendoza. Here's the 1-1. Fly ball right field. Backs up Wilbos. Now to his left. Brian Wilbos way to his left to make the catch. The wind took hold of it. It challenged him, but he stayed right with it the entire way. And there's one away in the top of the ninth. Bring up Chase Barbary. Here is the rain. It has arrived as a swing and a miss by Barbary, strike one. And if I know umpires, and I kind of do, they're going to try to get it in until things become untenable. This pitch is outside. Kenny Jackson, the home plate umpire. Nathan Diedrich, the bases umpire. It's in their hands right now. I'm going to close the window right here, though. This pitch is down and away. We got the crowd microphone in the other window as all the rain is starting to come in. Two balls, one strike. Whittlesey to the plate. Barbary fouls it off to the right side. 2-2. The Lugnuts have tarped up their bullpen up the right side. The Whitecaps, meanwhile, are clearing the way from their bullpen up the left side. I'm going to make sure that Adam Jax's headset doesn't get rained on as the ground ball goes to third. Campos grabs, fires across to first base. Not caught there by Winkler. And so Barbary is on. I frankly don't blame Jack Winkler for not catching it, and the umpires say enough is enough. Yeah, here's the big rain, so let's get rid of that crowd microphone. Sorry about that. It's a rain delay in Lansing, Michigan. I promised you, and here we are. So, at 3:43 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, the Lansing Lugnuts and the West Michigan Whitecaps are in a delay. Here comes the tarp, and they need to get that tarp on the field before things really become mucky and bogged down. That's the importance in a spot like this if that rain does get torrential. And this is a thunderstorm. They're expecting lightning. We've seen lightning all the way off in the distance. So here we are, top of the ninth inning. One on and one out. We'll check in with the official scores ruling on that last grounder. My guess is an error on the Lugnuts. Let's see. Official score has ruled on the first baseman. Error on the missed catch on Jack Winkler.
on the ground ball by Chase Barbary down to third base. And so currently we can now make the totals 1 run, 9 hits, 1 error for West Michigan. And on the Lugnut side, 8 runs, 9 hits, and 1 error for the Lugnuts. If you missed it early on, the story of the game, as the tarp is now getting pulled across Jackson Field, and their next step after they pull this tarp is they're going to center things and just make sure that that field is nice and preserved and covered up, because after all, we've got 4 more games to go in this series, tomorrow 7:05 all the way through Sunday. But today, as we started up today's matinee at 1:04, the story was the rehabbing left-hander Joey Wentz making his second start with the Whitecaps on his way toward the major leagues once again. And I brought in Chris Brown from the Tigers minor league report just to talk about what role Wentz could have with the Tigers later on this year when he does arrive back in the major leagues. But Wentz went out there, and he was perfectly fine. 3 innings, scoreless ball. Toward the end there, he lost a little bit of command, but still he pitched out of it. He allowed a first-inning single to Avery Bielanjelis. And in the third inning, he walked Max Muncy, and that was it. Really, no troubles for Wentz. On the other side, the Lugnuts had Christian Fernandez on the mound. Fernandez had seriously struggled in his first 2 starts as a member of the Lugnuts, but today, much, much better. For Fernandez, 3 2/3 innings, he allowed 1 run. And that 1 run came in the top of the 4th inning when Trey Cruz hit a home run out to right field. And that gave the West Michigan Whitecaps a 1-0 lead. Well, it stayed 1-0 all the way up until the bottom of the 5th inning. Bryce Tassan had come out of the West Michigan pen. Tassan worked a 1-2-3 inning in the bottom of the 4th, 3 groundouts to the third baseman Cruz. But in the bottom of the 5th, he got into trouble. Shane McGuire tripled with 1 out. He hit Brian Buelbas with his first pitch, and then Gabriel Maciel tripled in both of them. The Lugnuts led 2-1. After Max Muncy ground out, Avery Bielanjelis was hit by a pitch. By the way, that's significant because Anjelis later would leave the game because of that HBP, Alexander Campos replacing him. But Anjelis hit, and Jack Winkler then came through with an RBI infield single. That brought in Gabriel Maciel, and the Lugnuts led 3-1. Well, that was all for Bryce Tassan. R.J. Pettit came in. He got the Whitecaps out of that 5th inning. But at the bottom of the 6th inning with 1 out, Denzel Clark, an inside-the-park home run out to right center field. Let me see if I can play that for you right now. Let's see how this would go. Here we are. Here we go. Here's this Denzel Clark inside-the-park home run in the bottom of the 6th inning.
No, it wasn't. I agree with you. Outside of...
Fly ball right center field and hit well. Malgeri tracks it back. Way out there in the alleyway. Can't make the catch. Runs into the wall. It gets past him. Denzel Clark flies around to third base. Here comes the windmill. He's going to try for another. And he's going to score without a throw. 2 straight games with an inside the park home run. And they still haven't stopped him flying through the dugout. 4-1 Lugnuts.
Just remarkable. Denzel Clark. 2 straight games with an inside-the-park home run. So at the time, it did give the Lugnuts a 4-1 lead, but they weren't done yet. A 2-run single later on in the frame by Alexander Campos. 2 batters later, a 2-run single by Jared McDonald. And it was a 5-run bottom of the 6th inning for the Lugnuts. 8-1 they led. 8-1 it has stayed ever since. And now we're in a rain delay in the top of the 9th inning with 1 out. And the Whitecaps have Chase Barbary at first base, when the rain simply became too much, and the home plate umpire Kenny Jackson and the bases umpire Nathan Diedrich called for the tarp. And the tarp is out there, the field is preserved, and now everybody seeks shelter. Well, because we've got a chance here, because we've got some time, let's step aside, and when we return, I'll play an interview with one of the Lugnuts. You'll get to know them just a little bit better. Calvin Coker, when we return to Jackson Field.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks? Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go nuts.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Well, back at the ballpark, let me tell you what's going on. What's going on is a rain delay. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler at Jackson Field. 8-1 Lugnuts, top of the ninth inning, one on, one out for the West Michigan Whitecaps, but we're in a delay, so I invite you, get to know Lugnuts relief pitcher Calvin Coker, who I had a chance to sit down and speak with last week at Great Lakes.
Joined by Lansing Lugnuts pitcher Calvin Coker, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Calvin, what makes you tough on batters?
I would say deception. I have a lower arm slot. I throw across my body, so it makes it really uncomfortable for right-handed hitters especially. But left-handed hitters, it almost looks like I'm throwing from the other side of the right-handed batter's box almost.
What makes? When did you start throwing from that lower arm slot?
It was my freshman year of college, and I just wasn't very good over the top. And my coach basically told me that I wouldn't play if I didn't drop down, and I thought, why not? You know, I might as well. I wanted to compete, I wanted to play, and I wanted to help us win, so I decided to go through with it. I mean, through a few mechanical adjustments, and me basically teaching myself, I came to where I am today.
Did you see pretty immediate results at Auburn?
At Auburn?
Oh, I guess this was at Ranger, right?
Yeah, Ranger, I dropped down first.
Yeah.
That was my freshman and sophomore year, I dropped down. And my freshman year was shaky. I started in the pen, maybe started a couple games, and then my sophomore year, I really found myself, and I started throwing differently, mechanics-wise. I started working on my mechanics a lot more, and they made me a starter, and I ended up getting recruited by a lot of people. And I guess within a year and a half, I probably saw the most results.
How did you decide where to go with all of those recruits coming at you?
I knew that at some point I wanted to go to the SEC, and it came down to money at that point, basically. But every team was pretty much offering the same money, and I met Butch Thompson, who was my head coach at Auburn, and he was basically a sidearm guru with all the sidearm guys. He used to run a sidearm camp, actually, and I knew who he was going into the visit, and finally meeting him, it kind of solidified the decision for me a little bit.
Was it everything that you hoped it would be at Auburn?
Yeah. It was everything and more. I enjoyed my time there. It was fun. We were good. We competed. The town is fun. The people are fun. It's just that Southern hospitality, you know. But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed it a lot. I met Jack Owen there, actually, too.
What was Jack like then?
He was a little timid. He was a little freshman, and I was a senior, but we kind of took him under our wing a little bit. We showed him how it was done, and now he's a little less shy, and he's more outspoken in a way. So I guess we helped him out that way.
Have you always been outgoing?
Yeah. I've always been told I'm good at talking to people, and so I guess it's just a characteristic that I have.
What was the atmosphere like for an Auburn home game?
I enjoyed it a lot. We never had really any bad days crowd-wise. Yeah. It was always, the fan base is incredible when it comes to every sport, honestly. Football, baseball, we were having probably 4,000 people a night at these games, especially because, I mean, we had the first overall pick on Friday nights thrown, so that helped us out a lot, too.
Do you still keep in touch with Casey?
Every now and then I'll shoot him a text. I saw he just had Tommy John, which is unfortunate, but you know, I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to come back stronger and better.
Did you go? You mentioned the atmosphere at all the others and all those great sports teams. Did you go to football? Did you go to basketball and everything?
Yeah, I went to every football game. We got free tickets, and that was unlike anything I've ever experienced. I remember calling my parents and being like, these people are crazy down here. These people would kill each other for their teams. And it's all about what color you wear and where you're from, and it's intense down in the SEC. That SEC football, there's nothing like an SEC football Saturday.
I lived in Montgomery for 2 years, and I went to an Auburn-Arkansas game, and I lost my voice 5 minutes in, and my friend said, no, you got to pace yourself with your voice.
Yeah. No, those games are a lot of fun. I remember my senior year, we beat the number one team in the nation back-to-back weekends. We beat Georgia and then Alabama. And that was unlike anything I've ever experienced. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun.
Back to baseball. What was the biggest game that you ever pitched in?
Biggest game I've ever pitched in. The biggest game that meant the most was probably a regional championship game at Florida State in 2017. And it didn't go well. We played two regional championship games because we were in the winner's bracket and they were in the loser's bracket. And they had to beat us. I came in the 10th inning, the bottom of the 10th inning with bases loaded, and I ended up beaning the kid to walk home a run. And we lost it, and I basically didn't sleep all night. I was thinking about it, and there was like 10,000 people there. And I remember Butch calling me the next morning and saying, how are you, basically, like making sure I was okay mentally. And I really didn't sleep much, and I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then that day I ended up throwing 6 scoreless innings in the next day in the regional championship game. So that was probably the biggest game that I've thrown in. But crowd-wise, I would say probably Mississippi State. There's like 12,000 people there. It was crazy.
This is 2017, 2018?
Both were 2017. 2017, my junior year.
Next year, your senior year, were you expecting anything approaching the draft?
I got calls the year before that, and I turned them down to go back and get my degree. So yeah. I knew that if I performed and had a decent year, I had a pretty high chance of going. The first half of my senior year, I was nails. I couldn't, like, nobody could hit me. And then I started struggling more towards the back end and didn't throw much. Draft came around, and I kind of dropped a little bit from my junior year, but I mean, I kind of figured that I would get drafted, but it was just a matter of when.
I want to go back. You mentioned your degree. Degree in what?
I got a degree in interdisciplinary studies, which was it's basically a 2 degrees kind of in one, like your major, minor. I don't know. It's sociology. I majored in sociology, and it's basically the study of humans and their environment and how people react to different things, and I thought it was fascinating, and I decided to go back and get my degree.
Was there a professor or a class that really stood out?
No, I think it was just the whole philosophy aspect of it and the theories behind it. It really opened my eyes to how basically humanity works and how people think and work in certain environments. I thought it was fascinating.
Joined by Calvin Coker. All right, the draft comes. The Oakland Athletics take you in the 15th round, and off you go into professional baseball. Had you talked to guys about what to expect in the minor leagues?
I would just say be yourself. You got drafted for a reason,
Oh, had guys told you what to expect? You're entering pro ball, it's 2018. And 2018 is some kind of year in terms of you go around and you get up to AAA for a couple of appearances too.
Yeah. Nobody really said anything to me. I showed up and I basically knew I was young, in terms of where I am now. I consider myself young back then, even though I was still 23.
Yeah.
I showed up, and it was more so nobody necessarily like told me what to expect, but I kind of knew that like I had to control 60 feet. You control the 60 feet, every base path is 90 feet, like nothing really changes. Just where you're at in the nation, or where you're at in the country, or in the environment, whatever. It doesn't matter. Every base is 90 feet. Every mound is 60 feet, 6 inches. That's what you can control. That little box sitting over home plate, you got to throw the ball into. If you can't do that, no matter where you are, you can't perform. So I knew that going into it, but I wish I would have been a little less timid around the strike zone coming into it.
Attacked.
The going up to the AAA, I think I got really lucky with the A's. I think the A's have given me a lot of opportunities. I'm very thankful for them. And And yeah, going up to AAA, I didn't know what to expect, but it wasn't an environment I'd never thrown in before, you know, because throwing in the SEC, you're throwing in front of crowds like that.
Yeah.
The competition was obviously better. You know, you're facing big leaguers at that point. But yeah, I just went out there and I did my thing, and I tried to get outs, and I did. My big league debut, or not my big league debut, my AAA debut was bases loaded, no outs. And so I went in there and they handed me the ball and said, do what you can, you know, and it worked out. I got a ground ball double play and then a broken bat pop-up to get out of it and minimize. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I am very thankful for the A's for giving me the opportunities that they have.
Boy, from Nashville in 2018 to Beloit in 2019, but you're in the Midwest League. You finished 2019. What did you do with no minor league season in 2020?
I went home and played a lot of video games. I would go home, and we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know if we were going to be back in 2 weeks. We didn't know if we were going to be back in a month, you know. And so I just kept working out. I was working out every day. I was throwing every day. I was throwing to catchers. I was throwing to hitters. And then came around to, like, August, and we were kind of like, okay, we figured we weren't going to play this season, you know. So I just basically had a year-long off season is how I looked at it. I didn't do anything differently. I threw and worked out and lifted and ran and all the same stuff that I would do in the off season. It was just 12 months instead of 6 months.
The other guys you were with, other minor leaguers in different organizations?
No, actually. I went through to college catchers, and I faced, there was a junior college right down the road, DVC, Diablo Valley College, in Danville, California. And I went over there, and the coach was gracious enough to let me throw against his hitters, and I got my work in that way. And I did what I could with the resources that I had.
You didn't pitch at all last year. What happened?
No, I had in April of 2021... April 21st, 2021, I had a shoulder surgery. So it was called a Kim lesion. I had from my understanding, it was a bone spur basically on my humerus or whatever that was cutting my labrum. So they had to go in there and chew that down and give me a couple anchors, but it all worked out in the end. I mean, I came back normal, you know. And I was afraid, you know, everybody's afraid going under the knife, but, you know, are you going to come back the same way you were before,
yes,
you know, because if you don't, then, you know, you gotta find something else, you know, or find something else to make you perform the way you were, right? So yeah, I was afraid, and it was a long process. It was tedious at times. It was scary at times. It was almost fun at times. You know, you get a good group of guys in rehab, and they end up being your friends for life, you know. So I still talk to the guys in Arizona, and they're doing well right now. A couple of them are coming into their rehab stints and all that stuff, so I'm happy for them. But, yeah, I'm very thankful to be healthy and throwing today and competing.
Is there golf that goes on? Do you go to see movies? What do you guys do, the rehab club in Arizona?
No, yeah, we're not allowed to play golf. Because, you know, if you're having a shoulder surgery, you know, how are you going to swing the club? But, yeah, I mean, we would hang out at a house, or we would go swimming, or, you know, we'd just hang out. We would do anything. There's casinos down there. We didn't, you know, you're not gambling every day, but, you know, there's stuff to do.
Yeah.
You know, Scottsdale's a really nice area, and it's a really fun area.
When were you officially cleared to get back out there on the mound?
I think it was around May 9th or May 5th, something like that, around this year. And graduated from rehab, and I went into starting to throw in extended games. I threw in two extended games, and then I was supposed to go into an AZL game, and I ended up going up to Stockton before I threw in the AZL. And getting up to Stockton, it was just nice to be in affiliated baseball again, you know, after so long. And like I said before, when you're scared and you don't know what's going on and you don't know if you're going to get back to normal the way you were before, it's really comforting knowing that, like, hey, you're back. You're back in affiliated baseball. Your velocity's back. You're throwing strikes. I think everything worked out well for me in the rehab process, and I did everything that I could to come back normally, and thankfully I did.
Did it take a couple of appearances to show yourself that you were back, or did you feel back immediately?
I kind of kind of did a lot of visualization when I was rehabbing, when I wasn't able to throw. So when I went into throwing bullpens, I really tried to work on fastball command. If I could, well, I don't throw a fastball, I throw a sinker. But if I can throw that sinker with conviction in the zone, I think I'd be okay. And immediately off the bat, I was getting outs, and I was getting outs quickly. I think my first live AB appearance in the rehab in Arizona, I got it was like I threw like 20 pitches and got like 6 or 7 outs or something like that. So I think my identity is forcing bad contact and getting ground balls, and the strikeouts will come, but I'm not gonna have 100 strikeouts a year, you know. But I will force contact, I will get ground balls, I will force weak contact. So I think it's important knowing your identity, and I think that plays into performing and getting the results that you want to.
What is the balance for you between knowing the hitter's scouting report and just executing what you do? You come in, you take on an entirely new lineup yesterday, perfect inning, 2 strikeouts. How much of that is just you being you and you also understanding the batter?
I think a lot of the way that I throw is all based on me being me. I think that a scouting report can go so far, like if some dude's hitting 500 with 20 home runs on inside fastball or inside sinkers, low and inside sinkers, I'm probably not going to throw him a low and inside sinker. But
first
for the most part,
that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's my strength. Sinker inside is my strength. That's where I like to live. And I think the scouting reports are good to an extent, but at the same time, I think you have to throw to your strengths instead of their weaknesses. So I think I'm really good about knowing my strengths and performing or competing in the zone to my strengths versus their weaknesses.
Is there a major league pitcher that you model yourself after?
I used to model myself after Steve Cishek.
Yeah.
But he throws a little bit harder than me, and I think his arm angle is a little bit lower, but I don't know. I think that I'm unique, you know, so I don't know. Maybe I'll have to look into the player comp thing. So one day, so I can figure that out.
2 last questions for you. First, you were born in California before moving to Texas as a high schooler. Did you grow up an A's or Giants fan?
Grew up a big Giants fan. I went to all like a lot of games. My mom had season tickets, and I used to jump on Caltrain and just go right down to Embarcadero and jump off the train and walk into AT&T Park at the time. And now it's Oracle Park. But, yeah, I grew up a huge Giants fan. I was a big fan when they won all 3 World Series in 2010, 2012, and 2014. And then I got drafted by the A's and thought it was kind of ironic. You know, my mom loves it because she lives in the East Bay now. So maybe one day I'll be able to throw in front of my mom at the Coliseum.
And then lastly with Calvin Coker, besides being a video games master, what else are you great at?
I like golfing. I like just relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, I think anything that takes my mind off of stress at all, I think is a good thing. So, I think anything that's just relaxing. I'll go see a movie. I'll go golfing. I don't know. Anything really. I'll play video games, but video games can stress me out sometimes. You know, because you get into them.
Yeah.
but yeah, golf, movies. Hanging out, watching TV, maybe watching Netflix. Anything to relax, really.
It's relaxing talking to you.
Thank you.
Calvin Coker, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Lansing Lugnuts pitcher Calvin Coker. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and this is Lugnuts Baseball.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Well, this is some kind of timing because the umpires, Kenny Jackson and Nathan Diedrich, just came out below the home plate circle. As I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler back at Jacksonville, just to situate you with where we are in very, very rainy Lansing, Michigan, torrentially rainy Lansing, Michigan, where the tarp was called for in the top of the ninth inning. With one out following an Esney Chacon fly out to right field, Chase Barbary reached on a ground ball to third base that Alexander Campos gloved, threw it across. Jack Winkler dropped the throw, E3, in the midst of all of the rain. And then the umpires immediately said, cover this field. And they have called the game. So after the rain delay, the game has been called. It is a final. And the Lugnuts defeat the West Michigan Whitecaps tonight by the final score of 8-1. One run, nine hits, one error for the Whitecaps, who fall to 22-10, 53-45 overall. For the Lugnuts, eight runs, nine hits, one error. 13-19, the Lugnuts record improves to in the second half, and 38-60 for the year. I'll have Adam Jackson join me tomorrow night on a Labatt Blue Thirsty Thursday on a hopefully a much drier day tomorrow. Lugnuts send the right-hander Joey Estes to the bump against the Whitecaps right-hander Cater Montero. Thank you so much for keeping me company throughout this afternoon when it was hot, or right now when it's very wet. We got to see another Denzel Clark inside the park home run. We got to see a Joey Wentz Major League rehab appearance. Three innings as the start, scoreless. Wentz did the right things, taking that next step to get back up to the major leagues. And we got to see the Lugnuts offense explode. Three in the fifth, five in the sixth. Meanwhile, the pitchers did their thing on the other side after allowing 15 runs to the Whitecaps yesterday. Only one run allowed today. Trey Cruz's fourth inning solo shot. That was all. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Thank you so much and take care. From Jackson Field in Michigan State Capitol, here's wishing you well for the rest of your Wednesday. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. One more time, that final score, Lugnuts 8, Whitecaps 1. Have a great night from Lansing, Michigan, Michigan State Capitol. This has been Lugnuts Baseball.